insane to turn on your radio.
Something fresh and exciting. Somebody with a sock personality that'll sweep people right off their feet.
Where is he? What is he up to? What other terrors can he unleash at will?
Starring your genial host, renowned writer, art collector, and teller of strange tales.
What fiendish power did he possess? Where did he come from? Who is this man?
Believe me.
It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network for a Friday. Talk radio the way our founders intended. America, come for the squatting illegal aliens. Stay for the warrantless searches. Day 1183. Keep it the Eric in America. Say hello to Easy.
What's up?
Good afternoon to you and putting the heat in Heather.
Hello.
We'll do Double H here. We'll do Heather Has Answers next hour. Dark History, top of the third. Movie Man Mike, top of the final hour. I think he saw Civil War. I'm interested to hear what he had to say. All of OJ's kids, even the two he had with Nicole, up to, they say, between 30 and 50 friends who visited him on his during his final days, all his family members and every one of the medical staff were forced to sign NDAs. My theory is that either somebody, his attorney or someone in his family, was concerned that he may confess. In his, in his final days, he's on some, I'm sure meds and things. He might start mumbling and he may just drop the bomb.
Yeah, I think it was more about how frail and sickly he was, and I don't think they wanted to get out.
He looked bad, huh?
Yeah. I mean, the pictures I saw that were kind of, that somebody had gotten a week or two before that, he was really, really bad off. So I'm sure it was really bad, and they didn't want TMZ to know, and... Is it? They got a day before the news even got out that he had died.
What?
Because it was, he died, I believe, actually Sunday.
Oh, really?
Or Wednesday, whatever. It was a day before his son finally posted on Twitter that he had died.
Oh, he died Sunday night, maybe, because we knew from Monday early afternoon that he had. Here's a CNN contributor, Ashley Allison.
But it was so racially charged because of what had happened just before with Rodney King, but also just how Black Americans feel about policing. It's not like O.J. Simpson was the leader of the civil rights movement of his era. You know, he wasn't a social justice leader, but he represented something for the Black community in that moment, in that trial, particularly because there were two white people who had been killed. And
what's she saying?
I have no idea. I think it's super racist sounded.
Sounded like she thinks Black people supported him in the trial and were happy that he was found innocent because he got away with killing two white people. Right?
Yeah, that's exactly what she said.
That is racist. Was nice of Joe Biden, to put his thoughts with O.J.'s family.
Was there any reaction from the president to O.J. Simpson's death? Do you know if they ever crossed paths? If so, how, when?
So I'll say this. Our thoughts are with his families during this difficult time.
He can't call Lincoln Riley's parents. He can't call Detective Diller's parents, the guy of the cop shot in New York City. I guarantee he won't call the family of the cop shot and killed in Memphis last night. But he can, sure, his thoughts are with the OJ's family tonight,
which they probably never even asked him. That's KJP, 100% putting that out there.
Oh yeah,
they probably asked Joe, and Joe was like, "Yeah, I remember back when we used to play at Buffalo together." And
here's another CNN contributor,
and it's also just worth noting how much was
impacted by this trial, Jake. So many things happened. We saw policing changing here in the city. And it's also worth noting, because of that unrest, that racial unrest in the 90s, that is why so many people who may not have been invested in O.J. Simpson were just happy to see that someone who was rich and famous and black could get away with what other people did in the system as well, too.
Huh? Man. New York Times had to edit OJ's obituary because of this phrase. He ran to football fame on the field and made fortunes in movies, but his world was ruined after he was charged with killing his former wife and her friend. He was just ruined.
Yeah, ruined because of that.
Just ruined him. You know, when we read and hear the reactions still, now that the initial shock of O.J. dying, and then, if it was a shock, but then, and now people starting to kind of break down his life, and it's really broken down kind of on racial, except for the guy that left the remark yesterday, said that I was stupid because I thought he was guilty. His world was ruined. Not the woman who he was married to.
Yeah, the two dead people.
Cut her head off, practically. You know, he still now, Ron Goldman's going to try to go after their estate. Apparently, he owes them $100 million. And, you know, that's going to be tough. I'm sure things that he purchased with his, got at $300,000 a year he made just on his NFL pension. But he's Ron Goldman's worried that he's like maybe stocked some away over here. He gave some to his kids. They bought a recent property purchase down here in Florida. Blah blah blah. But I'm sure he's on it.
Oh, you know? Anything that goes in through probate, they're going to have their finger in. But I'm guessing OJ was smart enough to have, or at least an accountant smart enough that has been every time he's made a little bit of profits, immediately been distributed to his kids.
Right. No one talks about how he kind of weaponized race in his defense in that trial. You know, he wasn't, it was a man that proclaimed to want to be judged by the content of his character had been during his Hall of Fame football career and successful transition to acting, but his trial was all about his color. You think the here's the real. I don't see ESPN putting together a highlight reel, or anyone paying tribute to his football career. Or there's no, you know, he was a prominent figure. Do we not do that anymore? Simply because he was accused of murder, but found not guilty.
It's such a weird thing that we do. I mean, sometimes things can be separated. I think you can separate OJ, the football player that put on a helmet and was a phenomenal athlete and broke a bunch of records and did all this stuff. And then there's OJ off the field that's an absolute douchebag that, had all these off the field issues.
Like you could separate the brilliance of Michael Jackson's music.
Yes.
From him giving Jesus juice to kids and fingering Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, I think that is possible to do. Just like all the other actors and things like that, that there are, you can look at their entertainment and then also you can talk about them separately. You can say, look how entertaining this person was, and also this guy was a monster in what he did. It's the Bill Cosby world. Bill Cosby, entertainer?
Yeah.
Great. Bill Cosby off there giving out Spanish fly into everyone's cocktails.
Roofie and girls and banging them while they're asleep. Wow. This story just was so ridiculous. This lady in New York City, a mother, was with her four-year-old son named Kobe. Her name is Michiko Sasaki. They're having a good time at the park, at Battery Park, at the Playscape, and the boy had to go take a whiz. Well, they went to the bathrooms there. And, well, they were locked up. And it said, no bathroom on the door. And so she took little Kobe over to the bushes, and he had to go. So he had a little pee in the bushes there. She was spotted by some police and issued a ticket, a summons with a $50 fine. I mean, literally, blocks from where she was, New York City, some 140,000 homeless people are defecating in the street and urinating behind a dumpster. And here's a kid at a park. The city's closed the bathrooms for whatever reason.
Probably to keep the homeless guys from shooting up inside of it.
Probably so. Well, what do they expect? It's just so ironic that, you know, you find a citizen, you know, a tax-paying citizen who lives there, has a residence there, while you let, you know, I don't suppose too many homeless guys are getting tickets for taking a dump on the sidewalk.
No, probably not. It's a joke. It's like the one where they arrested that kid in, was it Mississippi? For him urinating by the car, they actually arrested that kid. It's a kid. He's not doing it perversely. He's not doing it maliciously. This one's even worse. It's a 4-year-old. He's just trying not to go in his pants.
The cop said, "Hey, let me see your ID. I'm writing you a ticket." She said, "You writing me a ticket for what? You cannot have a playground for children and not have bathrooms." He said, on the ticket, I did observe a respondent allowing her child to urinate on Park's property next to the public bathroom. One of the cops questioned her parenting choices and motioned at a building where there's an upscale restaurant called The View is located, where somewhere she could have gone to pee. So they're very rude. They're very brash and diminishing. Phrases like, how do you not get your child to go to the bathroom beforehand? Your child is old enough to hold it, one other guy said. It was insane. She said, that's not just this park. Every other park, the bathrooms are shut down. They're closed. You know, many coffee shops around there used to allow people to use the public restrooms. No longer, because you have guys in there shooting up, doing whatever, taking a bath in the sink. That's ridiculous.
And what's worse is these cops come off looking really, really bad. And that's probably because this is one of the few people that they can actually, in a way, harass.
A citizen, yeah.
Yeah, this is a person they actually can go, okay, well, we're going to give you a ticket for this, and there's nothing you can do about it, and they're not going to fight back because it's, you know, it's a lady with a little kid that is just confused why she's getting a $50 ticket for the poor kid that had to go.
Yeah, and they treat her like, you know, like she's done something horrible. What kind of parent are you? Way to go. That's good police work, Johnson. We should have cuffed that kid up in the meat while we wrote his mom a ticket. She's like, look, I get it. New York City introduced the Criminal Justice Reform Act, which decriminalized petty offenses like urinating in public. Now it's just a civil offense with just money, a fine. It could be up to $450. She goes, yeah, I get it. It's 50. It's not a lot of money, but it's the principle of the thing here. Certainly, we shouldn't all go pee on a sidewalk. However, this is a kid in an emergency situation at a playground that had bathrooms that were locked up.
And it sounds like she kind of took him into a little area that probably wasn't right in front of everybody. It's not like she just like had him pull it down on the slide.
What kind of cop writes a ticket for that?
Yeah, that's messed up.
This is... I'm having a hard time deciding whether or not I believe... The story. Winona Judge daughter, Grace Kelly, believe it or not, she's, you know, on the side of a highway, a very busy Alabama highway, with her pants down or off, exposing her lower half, her boobs hanging out of her shirt, holding a sign that said, ride for a ride. So initially she was charged with indecent exposure and obstructing government operations, but they've just hit her with a soliciting prostitution charge.
Did she make the sign or did she bring the sign with her?
I'm wondering if she is hooking or she's like, I mean, they say she was suspected to be in a drug induced frenzy. I know people do weird stuff while they're all drugged up.
Yeah, but in a drug induced frenzy, have you ever dug through the trash to find a piece of cardboard and then wrote ride for a ride on it?
No.
I mean, she was thinking clearly with at least that, she's like, all right, I got to. I got to
get somewhere.
I got to get somewhere, and I know what I got.
I ain't got no money. All I do is ride a guy, and then he'll give me a ride. She said, by the way, she's still sitting in jail on a $2,000 bail. Cops got there, and she said, the cops said, and when she made contact with her officers, she argued with them about the legality of what she was doing and that it was not illegal for her to offer herself in exchange for rides.
I know my constitutional right. There is no monetary value being paid.
I know my rights. I can sure hell give a guy a Hummer for a ride down the street.
As long as I don't accept any cash.
She, at a Circle K, she busted into the Circle K, declaring she'd been robbed. While there, she apparently caused a disturbance with some customers. Clerk called 911. She didn't make it far. Flashing her self on the highway. She didn't have things covered that needed to be covered, and she's holding a ride for ride sign while she was in that state, and drivers are going by displaying herself. The cops said she became irate and refused to identify herself. My question is she like excommunicated from her family's had some effed up stuff?
I mean, she's still sitting in jail, so.
Winona has run down there or at least called someone and then go make her bail.
Damn it, Grace Kelly, you had your Judds out for everyone to see.
They say she might not have had drugs on her at the time she was arrested, but if you look at the booking photo, it hadn't been long. Still not clear, they say her mother lives in Franklin, Tennessee. Hadn't spoken to her daughter, her derelict daughter, since her most recent arrest. You gotta let them go. Let them do what they're going to do, right? I mean, at some point, don't you? I mean, she's 27, though. That's, you know, you're an adult. You're way into adulthood at that point. You shouldn't, you know.
Yeah, it sounds like that Winona tried to help her, and it's not gone anywhere. So, I mean, you don't just start. It's not day one of taking meth that you remove your pants to try to get a ride with a sign. So,
hey, that meth's pretty good. I'm going to get naked right here and see if I can get a ride somewhere. I mean, I don't know. Does she live in Alabama? Or does she have a home? Is she homeless? I mean, I don't really. I'm always blown away when celebrities' kids, you know, wealthy celebrities' kids are complete F-ups. I mean, look at Hunter Biden. He's in his 50s. I've found that Too Good to Go app that we've talked about this before. Yeah. Guys eating old food. I just ran across a story about $1,700 in just two years. I'm like, okay, you have to look up food that's about to go bad in a restaurant that they've got offered for cheap, or an order that he talks about Five Guys orders that get ordered but never picked up. They'll put those on the app and sell it for half price. A cold ass cheeseburger.
In this economy, I'll take a cold ass cheeseburger. I can take home and reheat.
Right, I guess so. It's just it's a bizarre thing.
I mean, I still have that app on my phone just to kind of see where.
Is anyone around here do it? We looked at that one.
There's a couple. I know like Jimmy John's does it. You can get all their bread at the end of the day. Just a bag
true.
Of it.
That's
true. I can pull it up right here and see what's who's doing stuff today. It's usually like bakeries and things like that.
Yeah,
bagel shops, right. Yeah.
In New York City, it's restaurants. So I'm imagining what kind of meal do they sell on this half-price food app? Is it mistake food?
I don't know. Whatever. So a lot of them are, if you're a restaurant that does a lot of like hotel pans of rice and things like
that's
that.
That's what you get a hotel pan of a 8x11 pan of lasagna for $4 from fancy Italian joint.
If they prep it all, they've all made it. It's not going to really be good the next day. I mean, rice really doesn't reheat the next day very well. So they just put it on there. Let's see. They're all kind of sold out, I think, for today. But like there's one called the Restro Urban Kitchen. It's a for $5. They say you get $15 worth of stuff, a surprise bag containing a selection of baked goods and cafe items, such as empanadas, croissants, or any other ready-to-eat goodies.
Oh, isn't that nice?
But you're paying $5 to whatever they have left over.
Right.
As I've seen people that, like on YouTube, I watched one of them that did that, and they went into a coffee shop, and they paid $15 for a bag that's supposed to be worth $30, and it was $30 worth of coffee cake, and that was it. He opened the bag, and it was just coffee cakes.
You don't really know what it's going to be.
No idea what's going to be in there.
That's a little weird.
You know what the restaurant has, so you can kind of get an idea what they're getting, what they're going to get rid of at the end of the night, but.
The FISA extension has been made it to the House. We have some reaction here. It's been delayed by Anna Luna Paulina, whatever, you know, down in Clearwater, for a technical issue. That might delay it a week, they say. But we'll get some reaction when we return. And Biden has already gone and forgiven $7.4 billion more student loans for 277,000 borrowers. Nice. Hang on. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. Anna Paulina Luna threw up a rare procedural hurdle into the mix on the FISA deal. The warrant, is that the one with the warrant or without warrants?
Without warrant.
It tied.
Yes. And then Johnson voted for it, so.
To include a warrant?
No, with the warrantless, still warrantless FISA.
Pergrams on Capitol Hill with the latest. So now it heads to the Senate, Chad?
Yes, but with a caveat, an asterisk. There is another procedural hurdle, something that's pretty rare, and we're just breaking this down right now, that they're going to have to go through. You're absolutely right. They passed the bill 273 to 147 here, but there was a motion made by Anna Paulina Luna, Republican from Florida, that's going to hold this up, and there's going to have to be another vote to kind of discharge this to get this over to the Senate. We don't see this very often. All that is a delaying tactic, but they have passed the bill.
Of course, they passed the bill. Here's Jim Jordan.
The Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board, created by the 9/11 Commission Act of 2007, says that our amendment is consistent with what should happen. Our amendment is consistent with the majority recommendation of that board. This was a board specifically created to protect Americans' liberties, looking at how the intelligence community operates, and by the 9/11 Commission Act of 2007. And they say this amendment, the majority of that board said this amendment is what needs to happen.
Yeah. Well, not going to happen. The Dow's down 500. President Biden's about to speak. We'll try to catch that. Average nationwide gas is $3.63 right now. That's one of the reasons why he forgave $7.4 billion in student loans, right? And you know, they're expecting it could be today, tomorrow, Iran's going to attack Israel in some manner. And it could be, they say, 100 drones, could be missiles. United States interests over there in Yemen and Syria were also, targets. And that is going to make gas, oil prices surge a great deal. So he's not going to be able to get out of that one. Doesn't Liz Warren believe what's going on in her own party's administration? Does she believe what their own secretary general, defense secretary says?
No, she doesn't.
There's a group, Boston-based, the American Jewish Committee, sent a letter to Liz Warren accusing her of providing cover to extreme voices by claiming that Israel could be found guilty of war crimes. She says that Israel could be found guilty of genocide and, quote, there is ample evidence. I don't know that she's been there. I know that the United States and the United Nations both say that there is no evidence of a genocide in Gaza. She said, if you want to do it as an application of law, I believe that they'll find that it is genocide and they have ample evidence to do so. Spokesperson for Warren noted the remark was not a reflection of her views on whether or not genocide is occurring in Gaza.
Wait, so she says there's ample evidence, but that she doesn't. That's not views on if she thinks there's actually genocide.
Yeah, they said, nonetheless, we believe that your statement was inaccurate and hurtful. It did not reflect what's happening in Gaza or likely the outcome of South Africa's claim against Israel at the ICG. But Lloyd Austin said, there is no evidence that there is a genocide in the Palestinian territory. You know, that's just playing both sides so that she can, you know, get that hardcore progressive vote. The voices are still hot as fire. The UC Berkeley law student, this is a video of this. I couldn't find it, but they had a little dinner party. And hosted by Erwin Chemerinsky, the dean of Berkeley Law, and his wife, Professor Catherine Fisk, in their lovely backyard, I'm sure. And some of the students, grad students, were, you know, they're celebrating them. And one law student, Malik and Efane, it can be seen in the footage, standing up and offering a traditional Islamic greeting in Arabic that translates to peace and blessings upon you all before he demanded the university divest from corporations funding the war. He was wearing a divest t-shirt, black and white keffiyeh around the neck. The guy went and said, I need you to leave. Please, please leave. Please leave. This is not your house. It's my house, and I want you to leave. Then it deteriorates, and Afena and Fisk grapple for the microphone. Another student accuses Fisk of getting aggressive. And they went to a guy's backyard to a dinner.
And I loved it because I saw clips of it, and they're like, "Oh, you can't force us to leave. It's our right to protest." And
it's his house.
It's his house. Do you guys not know how this actually works?
He keeps saying it's a private house. It's my resident. The longer video of it shows the dean and Professor Fisk's home. It shows more in detail just how insufferable these students were. The dinner, which was meant to celebrate graduating students, obviously disrupted and disturbed. I'm enormously sad that we have students that are so rude as to come into my home and my backyard and use the social occasion for their political agenda. He's been the target of anti-Semitic harassment at the university. Protesters posted a caricature of him holding a bloody knife and a fork with the words, "No dinner with Zionist Chem while Gaza starves." Oh, God. He's blown away. Like, I never thought I'd see such blatant anti-Semitism with an image that evokes a horrible anti-Semitic trope of blood libel and their attacks on me for no apparent reason other than the fact that I'm Jewish. The students responsible for this had the leaders of the student government tell him that they didn't cancel the dinners. If they didn't cancel the dinners, they would protest at the dinners. They're just people graduated from law school, and it's a celebratory dinner. And what is this guy? He's the dean of the law school.
Yeah, nothing he can do about it. So, yeah, you got a little publicity, but you also did a bunch of racist tropes to a guy that has no power.
Yeah. Not to mention it's in bad form. I mean, you know, there are people that don't have a dog in this fight, and you know, they're just there to get an education, celebrate their graduation, that type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, do you have any proof that old Professor Chemerinsky over there is running money back to Israel or helping fund IDF maneuvers or anything else like that?
And I'm pretty sure that professors at universities, I mean, it's the Board of Trustees that handles where the money is invested and things of that nature. Damn. Some of the nonsense going on in Seattle. I didn't know that you could be in a competitive line dancing. Like, and I certainly, if there was competitive line dancing, I wouldn't have pegged it in Seattle.
Well, cross country, you can competitive line dance everywhere.
What are they doing, the Cotton Eye Joe?
A lot of probably steps and...
Well, the Emerald City Hoedown in Seattle, the Borderline Dance Team was all set to perform when they were told by organizers that they're no longer welcome. The Rain County Dance Association, an LGBTQ community, lodged a complaint because this line dancing team, you know, they all dress alike and they have a sequiny United States flag, American flag themes on their shirts. They were offensive to some of the convention goers, and there was a group that, quote, felt triggered and unsafe.
Which, the triggered and unsafe don't seem like the group that would be going out to watch the competitive line dancing competition.
The LGBTQ people?
Well, just any of the, like, anybody that would be upset by them wearing a shirt that resembles the American flag just doesn't seem like the type of person that's going to be at the Emerald City Hoedown.
True. The complaints were brought up by about Israel's war against Hamas and some transgender issues,
which have nothing to do with the flag. And again, they were ladies that were doing line dancing, and it wasn't even, I saw the pictures of the group. It wasn't like it was a lily white, all blonde haired line dancing ladies. It was a pretty diverse line dancing team.
You know, they thought they'd just be booed, maybe yelled at. And that didn't bother us, but we were given an ultimatum: remove the flag tops and perform in either street clothes, which most didn't bring. They traveled in their uniforms, or they'd supply us with Emerald City Hoedown T-shirts from years past. That is amazing. Why would people? That's Seattle. You're not down south of the Mason-Dixon line. For some reason, I don't feel like you're going to be asked to leave the dance competition because you have American flag shirts on. And why can't anyone just say, yeah, we're sorry you're offended or triggered, but, you know, that's your issue.
Again, it is, we seem to want to fulfill the needs of the few over the needs of the many. They said it was a small but vocal group. Okay, tell them to get the hell out and let these ladies perform for what they've actually, you know, worked hard for.
Right. He said, our team is not a political, we don't take a political stance here. We came to do our dancing. We're a patriotic group. We support our military and our veterans and our first responders. We're a group of patriots. Our friends, the West Coast Country Heat dance team, were also scheduled to dance for the convention that evening, also did not perform as they two proudly donned colors of our country in the same spirit of patriotism that we do. Both our teams stood in solidarity and put actions to words. That's just ridiculous, man. Come on.
I mean, we probably went a little too far when we had a Trump impersonator doing Cotton Eye Joe for us to dance to, but we thought it was...
Where did you go?
We thought it was, you know, culturally appropriate, though.
This lady you will soon hate. Her name is she's an author, Dr. Angela B. Peary. Man, I hate this woman.
Oh, I hate her too. This lady just pisses me off.
She travels quite a bit, so she's a Delta Airlines passenger with diamond medallion status. She was writing on the official Diamond Medallion Group Facebook page that she was winning because she received 8,500 sky miles from Delta's customer service. Not for poor something went wrong with a ticket or she had a wrong meal on a flight. It's because she's a rat. She sits in first class. She takes photographs of flight attendants on their phones and sends them to Delta customer service agents to rat out. I mean, are they not allowed to? I mean, they're sitting down in that little jump seat, you know, on takeoff and landing, and you pull your phone out. And she takes me, look what's happening.
Yeah, this lady's just an absolute snitch. And because of the fact that Delta, for some reason, rewarded her, that's her new thing.
She commented, wrote my complaint about Joshua, the flight attendant who hid in the galley and was overall S from some SDF to Atlanta. Got personal call from Delta customer service agent and 8,500 Sky pesos for, that's their slang, for winning. On another post, she put a photograph of a flight attendant using their phone while they're fastened in another crew jump seat. She's like, this is the third photo I've sent Delta in 2 weeks. 3 out of 4 flights. Flight attendants on their devices. This one's clever, hiding it behind a Delta device while headed for a takeoff. God bless. Apparently, it's against the rules for Delta flight attendants to use their personal devices during a flight. But this woman was absolutely gleeful about it.
Yeah, she looks exactly like I would have suspected she looked.
Did she?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she like a big old Karen?
Yeah, oh, big time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So people got really mad at her. One reviewer wrote, this book is entirely written by a wretched S whose hobbies include harassing airline employees in exchange for frequent flyer miles.
I mean, it's such a scummy. If you're on an airline and the flight attendant is not, you know, walking down the aisles or the drink cart because you see them back there talking on their phone, playing on their phone or something, like, okay, maybe you can complain about that.
Right.
But if she's in in the jump seat while they're doing takeoff and she wants to check her phone, or, I don't know, maybe
see what her family, tell them flight's running late, I'll be,
Yeah, maybe she's got a babysitter at home, watch her kids, and she's taking a look at it or any of those things. I don't care. There's nothing that flight attendant can do at that moment that is distracted by looking at their phone. So it's just being an absolute snitch.
Another one posted, did you even consider that they may be messaging their families and loved ones, checking in on them, can't wait to see them? The fact that you even posted this just makes me see the worst in people. Did these flight attendants not meet your needs or the needs of all the other passengers to the flight when they could actually perform their role? To any flight attendant that sees this, thank you for all you do and the time that you take away from your loved ones to make my flight experience a great one. Dr. Perry hits back at her critics. She gave an update on the official Diamond Medallion group. Now she had secret status. It is against Delta policy for an employee to have a personal phone in view while working. For those that have said that I should mind my own business or stop being a Karen, be aware. This is a safety violation and a fireable offense. Kind of a big deal. You should not see a flight attendant using a personal device ever unless on crew rest.
I think Dr. Angela Peary is going to get a lot of spit coffee in her attendance here.
Oh, yeah. you know, one flight attendant guy said, "Listen, behavior fosters an untrusting safety environment for staff. Every crew functions better in their safety role, knowing their airline supports their choices when they go on a flight. There are situations when we have to deviate from service procedures due to many factors. And to know there's somebody on the plane who's going to be looking for those situations to exploit for their gain just adds more stress. We're human. We have to deal with a lot of family emergencies from miles away on our devices. I've gotten news about every family member I've lost since I started flying on my cell phone while on trips. At my former airline, I would simply inform the senior that I have an important matter and need to use my phone, and there's never an issue." What a bitch. Just so you can get, she's not concerned about safety on the flight.
No, they rewarded her one time, and she might have been the first. She's like, they upset her, and she's like, I'm going to get them. They're on their phone. I got them. And then they sent it, and they, for some reason, Delta felt the need to give her almost 9,000 airline miles to her.
And I wonder if she gets a few thousand every time. And what happens to these poor flight attendants? Are they fired?
Oh, I'm sure they're reprimanded and written up and possibly fired and...
I hate that. I hate that lady. I wouldn't care if they're on their phone. I mean, as long as they're like, you know, bringing the drink cart out, they're on their phone, then maybe.
That's what I'm saying. If you're having an issue and you look over and she's playing on her phone, not paying attention, or she's walking down the aisle with a drink cart and it's got her phone, she's texting away on it. Okay, you're going, that's a little much.
Right.
But if it's in a spot where there's nothing going on and she wants to check her phone, I don't care if she's in the jump seat. I don't care if she wants to check her phone. It's not harming anybody. There's no safety thing at any point that person could, there could be an issue at that point.
Right. If there was, you'd drop your phone.
It would be catastrophic, so it wouldn't matter.
Yeah. There's a situation going on in Oklahoma. And Oklahoma's a weird place. It can be an odd state. It's a beautiful state. House Bill 3098, authored by Senator Jessica Garvin, would indeed criminalize certain common STIs. What is an I?
Infection.
Oh, they don't say disease anymore?
Not anymore.
Okay.
Well, I mean, they do, but it's more they use STI more often.
So experts say that this is going to make the problem a lot worse. It would criminalize the intentional or reckless spread of STIs. Violators could get 2 to 5 years in prison. However, reckless is not defined in the bill, which experts say in the fields say that it leaves an open door to potential unnecessary lawsuits and prosecutions. Because of the broad language, rather than encouraging Oklahomans to get tested, treated, and reduce the spread, it could make it a lot worse. It would deter folks from getting tested for STIs for they fear prosecution. But here's why. Oklahoma ranks 11th in the nation for chlamydia, 5th for the gonorrhea, and 4 for the syphilis. I mean, they say that, I mean, HPV is one of the infections that it would criminalize. And apparently, according to the National Cancer Institute, 90% of sexually active men and 80% of sexually active women will be infected with HPV in their lifetime.
Yeah, I think the issue is they mean well with this bill. They have an issue going on. People are not getting tested. Things are getting transmitted around. So they're going, all right, well, you know, if you're not going to get tested, if you're not going to wrap it, you're just going to go out there and keep going at it. You're going to go to jail for it. But you got
to
put
2 to 5 years in prison.
You got to put some better standards under it.
I mean, you might not know that you have HPV. Yeah. I think you would know if you have chlamydia or gonorrhea, though.
But I mean, if you're a guy that's got syphilis you and you know, don't, yeah. you don't tell anybody and you just keep sleeping around without telling the people that you have syphilis, then, yeah, you probably should go to jail for that.
Right, right. But if you don't know that you have, you know, HPV or syphilis, I mean, would you know immediately? I mean, the other two, you get some kind of a drip or...
I think syphilis starts messing with your brain pretty quickly, too.
Hmm. According to the bill could turn nearly all Oklahomans into potential felons. I mean, you're not going to get arrested at the testing place, are you? Oh, you've got hands behind your back, buddy. You've got HPV. They're waiting for the vote in the Senate. Sailed right through the House. Only 14 people against it. 78 in favor. That's
I need the sex workers to tell me ahead of time if they got the diseases.
Yeah, well, I think they're already regularly tested. All right, when we return, the average, you're going to say right out the bat that the biggest booty on a woman, if you had to choose the country, you'd say Brazil, right?
Everybody. I think most people would, yeah.
You'd be wrong. I know you're dying to know who has the biggest ass in the world.
Yeah, there's guys that have their trip planner up right now. Like, all right, let's hear it.
All right, where are we going? Well, I'll tell you next. Hang on. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. Memphis cop killed last night, early morning shootout, and one of the teens that responded to a call about a suspicious car. So they stopped the car and they began a shooting. The story of the kids is the 18-year-old did not make it. The other one is 17, still in the hospital. The 18-year-old who was killed had previously been arrested by Memphis police just in March, found with a stolen vehicle, an illegally modified semi-automatic weapon with a Glock switch attached that converted the weapon into a fully automatic machine gun. And Shelby County has a no-bail policy. Well, it's a little different than just straight-up no-bail. They've created a new bail process that will make it, I'm reading from the ACLU's newsletter, which will make the county system one of the fairest in the nation. The new system includes the creation of a new bail hearing. Individualized bail hearings are guaranteed with counsel. They're guaranteed within 3 days of your arrest. And an examination into the person's financial circumstances prior to any decisions. Cash bail is only at a last resort. So this kid, an illegal automatic weapon.
Yeah, and if they had put him in jail like they should have, one, the officer would be alive, and two, the kid would probably still be alive, too.
Wow.
But because, we can't make him feel bad because, the bail and putting him in jail greatly affects a minority group. We can't actually do the job of actually doing justice to people. You have two dead people and probably a third because I don't think the other kid's going to make it either.
Well, then good. It'll save us a lot of money and jail and court time. The system also allows judges to continue to make individualized decisions in every case before them. I mean, I'm guessing, I'm going to go way out on a limb here. I don't know this kid's background or his legal history, but I'm going to guess that in March, when he was arrested with a stolen car with an illegally modified semi-automatic weapon with a Glock switch, wasn't his first run-in with the law.
No.
Here's the weird thing. I know of a friend who he had a guy working for him, and they're both gun enthusiasts. And he said, hey, I'd like to borrow. He had a gun in his office. I forget what he gave me. I'd like to take this out and shoot it. And he said, sure. No problem at all. And so it was in a case. And he handed him. He goes, try this. I don't know exactly what it was. And so they just swapped guns. They both happened to live on rural property where they could shoot them. And he went to shoot the gun that his employee gave him. And it went, and he's like, oh. Hell no. He was getting ready to go deer hunting. So we put that gun in the case and put it under I forget when. This might have been a week or so later. ATF shows up at his house with his gun. And he said, you gave this to so-and-so? And he said, yeah, yeah. And he found out they were coming over, had his wife go and hide it, but they couldn't hide it. And he was busted for being in possession of that. It was... had to go to federal court
for being in possession of a gun that he had never fired in a crime.
And this kid is in a stolen car with this weapon, and there's no ATF involved. It's just Memphis police. And this guy gets cakewalked out the back door. That is insane. I don't care if you're poor. I care if you're dangerous. You could be super duper poor. I guarantee you the 17 and the 18-year-old, their bank statements probably made them look real poor if they even had a bank account.
Yeah, but that's the almost like what we just talked about with the STD law in Oklahoma. It sounds good on paper. Okay, we're helping the marginalized people or not. They get put in jail more often. Okay, well, you have to have some caveats at it, though, at some point. You have to say, all right, The guy that got the traffic ticket, that this is his third traffic violation, that would be an automatic jail time. We can maybe not have him have to pay the bail that he can't afford. He's got a traffic ticket.
Right.
Okay. The kid that's carrying the illegal firearm probably should immediately there. You automatically get, you have to have bail, no matter what your bank account says.
Yes, I'd hold him and at least do a little deep dive into where the hell this automatic weapon come, you know, trace its background and try to find out who is someone doing this. Because that guy's, that's a felony. It's a hardcore federal offense.
You know, the person that is on their 12th arrest in the last couple of weeks, you go, okay, we'll give you three. You only, three of them were shoplifting.
Right.
All right.
You stole a car. Who stole a car?
Some stuff. You're on number 12. You stay in jail. Bail is set for whatever, $50,000. You're staying in jail. I don't care what your bank account looks like.
Until we go to trial at the very least for the charges, yeah. And we'll see what happens then. You may go home that day. You may not. But what you're not doing is out killing cops in the meantime. The average size of a woman's butt. These are big butts. Everyone would, the first one, you had to say Brazil, right?
I think that would be the normal. Everyone would say that.
Maybe they're only the big butts are the ones you see in the beach photos or on the beach in Brazil, because they're not number one. Number one on the list, they looked at the average hip size for women. Heather, what are the hips? What are we talking about? Like right in the hip bone, just below the waist?
That I don't know.
That's a hip right there.
Right. The hip is actually like right above your booty, but like...
No.
No?
No.
Because if they're measure a little bit lower and you get like a much larger number.
You wear your pants on your hip.
I do.
Yeah. So hip size in South Africa, the number one, South Africa... with an average size of 41.73 inches. That's big.
That's big.
Argentina, number two at 41 inches. And shockingly, Sweden. I would never think of Sweden.
Never, because you always think of Sweden as tall, thin women, tall, thin blondes.
40.9. The U.S. didn't even crack the top five. And the UK didn't even make the list.
Yeah, I think we finished sixth.
Greece and Germany rounded out the top five with 40.74 and 40.6, respectively. The U.S. just barely failed to crack the top five. Number six with 40.2. It's still a very respectable ass, ladies. Don't get down on yourself. You're doing good. Indian women. They have Nacitol over there. 36.1. They're also second lowest in the obesity rate out of 200 countries. This is a global lizard on a treadmill. I mean, this is real researchers.
Yeah, I mean, were there just a bunch of team of young intern researchers with a tape measure? It's all right. Get in line.
Yeah, one of those fabric measures, and then a long line of women, and he just sits there all day and looks at their ass and measures. Research also suggests that men evolved to find women with larger backsides attractive because it suggests that they were more youthful and fertile. The spinal structure would have enabled pregnant women to balance their weight over the hips. These women would have more effective and have been at foraging during pregnancy. What does that mean, that South African women have the biggest asses because while they were pregnant, the men made them forage?
Yeah, they're still good at going out there and picking berries and things.
Your ass getting small, you better get foraging. In turn, men preferred these women and would have had mates who were better able to provide for fetus and offspring, and would have been able to carry out multiple pregnancies without injury. Congratulations, South Africa.
Heather wanted us to know that Kim Kardashian has 41 inch hips. So,
ooh, 41.
So all those South African average one. That's all Kim Kardashian. Just a nation of Kim Kardashians.
Wait a second, Heather. That's her right now.
I mean, that's what Google said.
Her, it's like a horse's ass. Her ass is enormous.
Okay, but she's also got like a 26 inch waist.
Yeah. Well, that ass is not natural. You know.
But I mean, she's probably a whole lot tinier in person. We just always see this gigantic rear.
Oh, yeah. If you saw her in person, she's probably shorter.
She's probably, you could wrap your hands around her shoulders and like touch fingers. Like, she's probably really tiny.
Well, she's better than the average here in the United States, but not by much. Heather, are you ready?
I am. Okay. And I just want to say I'm jealous because, like, I forage for berries and that has not helped my hips. And I've had a bunch of babies, and that has not helped my hips either. So, okay, I'm done.
All right. Heather has answers at gmail.com. Heather has answers at gmail.com. Let's do it.
Okay. Hello, radio people. I'm a male in my 20s, and I met this beautiful woman on Tinder. She's honestly like an 8 out of 10 on looks and seems fun. I asked her what she's looking for specifically on Tinder, and she says she's looking for much younger guys to hang out with. She's 25 years older than me, and she has found a much younger guy. And then she asked me if I was ever with an older woman and if I wanted to meet up and get coffee this weekend. We'd figure out the rest from there. Now I am nervous, and I'm surely less experienced than she is. So any advice, like, should I go through with it? What do I do? Do I buy condoms? Is there a difference in younger and older women that I need to be aware of? Clueless in Claremont.
How old is he? 22?
Mid-20s.
Mid-20s. And she's 25 years older?
Yeah, something like that.
So she's 47, almost 50?
Yes, something like
that. And she's holding it together? She looks good?
8 out of 10.
Yeah. You need to go forward with this, dude. Mm-hmm. You have to. You must. And you don't worry about your inexperience, because you're going to learn things.
Yeah, she's probably going to destroy you. So
I'd say, you know, plenty of fluids the night before. If you're meeting her up for coffee in the afternoon, have a big breakfast. Not too big. Man, you're 25.
Buy the condoms.
Just in case. Your pocket, yeah. She may not, you know, she's 45. I don't know.
I mean, STDs still exist.
Be safe.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll have that discussion, right?
I mean.
And listen, enjoy this period in your life, because when you're 40... And for 50, the women that are 25 years older than you are not, you're not even, you know, you're helping them get into the pew at church. You're not, it's not, you know, yes.
The older women aren't interested in you, Shannon?
I mean, like grandma's style women, of course, but like, you know, come over here. They're nice. They're handsome.
Hey, you lay it down and she gives you a Werther's Original afterwards. So.
Yes, if she does have a Werther's with her, you might.
She's got one of those jars with those strawberry candies that nobody knows where you actually buy those strawberry candies at.
The little wrappers on them.
But the inside's gooey.
Yes, go for it. Go for it. And please write us back and let us know. You know, you're just having coffee right now. You're not have to, you know. She may drag you back to her place. And yeah, she might.
I mean, she's a Tinder lady and she kind of already warned him. So I think. When she says we're just going to have coffees and see what makes a decision.
Take it from there, yeah. Take it from there means.
All right.
Maybe make sure your house is clean.
Yeah. Wear fresh underwear, shave, look good.
That is a lot of advice. All right. Good luck, Clueless. All right. I have been sitting on this a couple days collecting evidence. I don't want to give too many details, so please don't share my name. I'm a girl in my 20s, and I found an email notification on my guy's phone while he was in the emergency room. Within 4 clicks, I found loads and loads of messages of him trying to meet up with women for sex. He's subscribed to about 16 OnlyFans and tons of other affair sites that weren't logged in. I don't know. Is that a lot? 16 OnlyFans sites? Like,
I mean, 16 individually people on individual.
I think that's what that means. I don't know. Like, if that's.
That's all. Yeah, because you're paying for each one, I think, or each time you talk to them.
So do most people that do that only, like, subscribe to one or two, or?
I don't know. I don't do these.
Somebody should write in and tell us. Okay, here's my issue. He's home now, recovering from the ICU, and I'm just sitting on this. I'm so devastated. I've done so much for him just to make sure he's okay and alive, but in the back of my head, I know every I love you is a lie. What I saw dates back to Valentine's Day. I need advice. If he didn't almost die, I would have left him by now. Since all that happened, I don't ever want to leave him. I'm so torn, and he's on new meds. He's not even in the right state of mind for all that, let alone all the stress and everything that could cause him to go back to the hospital. I have tons of evidence. I wrote a 4-page letter in my journal. I just can't talk to him. I have the opportunities to cheat, but also absolutely never would. Absolutely foul behavior. He's sleeping right next to me, and I've been crying in his face the whole night, and every time he asks what's wrong, I want to scream in his face, but I just say, I'm glad you're okay. I have not told a soul either. I have really good support system, but I truly don't know if I can bring myself to talk to anyone without talking to him first. How do I break it to him? Do I stay with him and hope his accent changes his ways? See in Tallahassee.
Man.
If she was going to leave him, it doesn't matter if he was in the hospital or not. She needs to, I mean, let his mom take over him, taking care of him. That's not her job.
They're not married to each other, correct?
Right. Nope. Just a boyfriend.
It doesn't sound like she wants to hang out. Wants to stay around.
She says she loves him dearly.
Dearly? Well, if that's the case, she's got to talk to him.
And she's devastated.
You know what I mean? She's got to say, look, we don't need. And here's the thing. Women get bogged down into every tiny little detail. You know what I mean? A general approach, like, look, I went through your phone while you had an email alert. I went while you were in the ER, I looked at and I found some stuff in there, and I see that you've been you seem to be wanting to find other partners, and we need to talk about it, because that if that's going to be the way it is. You know, we can't be together.
That's not going to work.
Right. Yeah, especially do that. You know, that's my advice. Or you could just say, you know, if you're not that in love with a guy, just toss him his phone one day. So look, while you're in the air, I poked around. I'll see you later. I've got another apartment.
Might subscribe to this one too. She's cute.
Well, you have to get mean about it.
Okay, I've got one more. Eric wants to chime in on that last one.
Nope, he's exactly right. She has to call him out for it. Otherwise, she's just weirdly going to sit there and stew and then probably at one point stab him in his sleep.
And
so
Here's another thing. I would refrain, until you've talked to him, definitely, refrain from telling any of your friends, because if you guys, if they work it out and his accident changed everything and it's all hunky-dory now, and you stay with him, and then you'll be judged by your friends. Like, you stayed with him, and he cheated on you. Lord knows how many women he banged. But
and they'll always hate him, too.
Yes, they will. They will never, ever like him.
But she hasn't told anybody else.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Okay. That was my word of advice. Don't start, you know, henpecking around on all the girls, you know, down at the place where the girls are.
Okay, one more.
All right.
Hello, Florida Man Radio. My little brother came out to my Muslim mom, and now she's losing her mind. I am not out, but I am a gay man in my late 20s. We are only moderate Muslim, strict but not too much. I knew I was gay ever since I was very young. My little brother is 12 years old now. Our dad is present but invisible. We barely talk. We don't share anything. It's like he's living his own world. So I had to take care of my brother and raise him along with my mom, changing diapers, teaching him and other things. But for a very long time, I sensed it and kept it to myself. He revealed to my mother that he's been watching videos on YouTube of men kissing and that it turned him on, and that he's been doing this for the last 3 years, and that's why he feels guilty, and gave her his phone and told her he doesn't want to feel this way anymore. Now our mother's depressed. She thinks it's just a phase and that he'll grow through it. I told her it's normal. He's just discovering things. All my life, I tried hiding the fact that I am gay, and now she has 2 gay sons. It's just terrible news for me. I wanted to be the only cursed and disgusting one and bear all the suffering, and I wanted so bad for my little brother not to go through what I went through. But now it's real and it's happening, and he was stupid enough to reveal it to our mom. Now she wants to take him to therapy. Probably will take him to an exorcist and ficus to practice sorcery on him, obviously. I can't say anything to her. My brother, surprisingly, didn't trust me and told her before me. I would have stopped him from that, but yeah. I don't live with them anymore, and it's all a mess now. My anxiety is killing me. How do I deal with this? Madam, Mo in Fort Walton.
What a, you would think a real strong bond between a son and a mother to be able to go to your mom and go, hey, listen, can I tell you something? I've been watching dudes kiss, and I got to tell you, it's turning me on. You know, that takes a lot of... It sounds like he's either young?
Yeah, the little brother's 12.
Oh! Yeah. He doesn't know what he is yet.
I think that's part of the way the culture is now. School. Yeah, that he has that want to go tell his mother that. And which is weird that he didn't go to his brother. And like you said, his brother could have talked and said, hey...
Yeah, don't tell him.
You can be proud now, but mom's crazy. Mom doesn't understand that type of thing. You may want to watch out for that.
I think a Muslim father would.
Yeah, that's very dangerous.
Yeah, you might get stoned. I don't know how, they're not. He said they're moderate Muslim.
Correct. They're in Fort Walton. I don't think they're allowed to stone each other here.
No, but they might take you over the Whataburger, throw you off the roof.
Yeah. They're not allowed to. There still is honor killings that go on
here
in the U.S., yes.
I'm not suggesting that's going to happen in this case.
No, not, but...
But, yeah, you don't want to... also, he needs to explain to his mother that he's just 12. And if she takes him anywhere, you can't. No therapist is going to talk the gay out of your kid.
No, not anymore.
But they would say, he's 12. Just relax.
Right.
And maybe take him to buy him some Rambo toys and,
Or Legos.
I'm trying to lean this kid. Get him a G.I. Joe or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. Get him two G.I. Joes and they can have a kiss.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He might really like those G.I. Joes. Maybe you should get him a Barbie.
Oh, wow. This guy, the other kid is older, huh?
Yeah, he's in his late 20s. I'm going to say that Mo should just go ahead and talk to his little brother and tell his little brother, open up. I mean, maybe his little brother really is. I hear that they know around that age. I don't know. But Mo could at least explain maybe he is, maybe he isn't, but at least be there so the kid has somebody else to talk to
Tell mom you've changed your mind.
Now you're disgusted.
You saw a couple guys kiss on YouTube last night. It was the most disgusting thing you ever saw, and you're never going to look at it again.
And just fake it.
Yeah. And then,
until you get out and safe. And don't tell dad.
Heather has answers at gmail.com. Heather has answers at gmail.com. When we return, I thought the cannonballs were just a piece of metal. I didn't know they found one in Virginia in a flower bed, and the guys were treating it like it could blow up at any minute. And I'm like, why? If you found a cannonball, wouldn't you want to keep it? It's from, Revolutionary War, Civil War, I don't know. But, I don't know. Maybe there's cannonball experts out there as well. And when is it? Today? No, Saturday, coming up. Very special day at 7-Eleven. You can take any container you want in there and fill it up for $2. Like a cooler? Igloo cooler.
If it fits in that.
Underneath that space?
Yeah, it's got a 10-inch space, which shows you the distance between the nozzle and the base so you can fit whatever object it is
I bet they lower it on this day.
Yeah, and then you can, whatever it is, fill it up.
All right, that and your remarks as well. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network.
Yeah.
Illegal alien crime roundup. This one's pretty funny. Man, robbing banks. Illegals are now robbing banks.
Yeah, I mean, they did crime in their own countries. They're going to come here and do crime.
Yeah. This one couldn't speak very good English, so he used a little help.
A bank robbery in Ohio went bad after the robbers' commands got lost in translation. It happened last Thursday in Sandusky, Ohio. Video from the bank shows a man who police say is a Venezuelan migrant sitting across from a teller, apparently unable to speak English, so he typed his demands into a translator app on his phone. The man flashed the messages reading, "Get the money, put it in the bag." But the workers were not convinced. The robber was forced to leave empty-handed. Police arrested him a short time later.
Get the money, put it in a bag.
I like these. I give credit to these tellers, too, that just laughed him off, too. Yeah. Like, get out of here, idiot.
I mean, he didn't brandish a weapon.
No.
So at least he won't get armed robbery.
I'm sure they...
They'll just let him go.
Yeah, ran his prints, let him go.
He's a cute little Venezuelan. Let's let him stay.
How silly he was. He used the app on our phones that we gave them.
Yeah. This is a Texas representative, Wesley Hunt, a black conservative man with a kind of a funny comment about voter ID. Hold on. This guy's pretty funny.
I'm here to talk about the left's soft bigotry of low expectations. Because it's the Democrat Party, not the Republican Party, that thinks so little of black America as a people of color that they make the case that being black in America means we can't obtain a government ID to vote. And that's not only a ridiculous assertion, it's demeaning and it's insulting. When it comes down to it, many of my colleagues on the left like...
Sounds like this guy went and had some dialect training.
He does have a very distinct way.
To pretend that we're still living in the 1950s. Well, we're not. I've got some good news for you. It's 2024, and I know what year it is because I've been black for just over 40 years. And I'm also the son of a retired lieutenant colonel who grew up in the segregated South. You see, my parents grew up in a Jim Crow South in the 50s and 60s in New Orleans, Louisiana. Their next generation, my parents had three kids, my sister, brother, and I, all went to West Point.
That's why he speaks so perfectly.
All three of us, we all served our country in combat. And I sit before you today as a sitting United States Congressman in a district in a suburb of Houston, Texas, that's a white majority district, that President Trump would have won by 25 points and I won by almost 30 points. And that doesn't happen unless we've made some incredible progress in this great nation. Now, my colleagues on the left like to say that common sense voting laws, including requiring a government issued ID, are racist, discriminatory, and burdensome.
We've never heard a black person say that, though. You know?
Yeah.
An elected official. We're one country. I mean, think of every other civilized nation. Everyone in Europe, South America. All Canada, all require IDs to vote.
It's almost like it doesn't hurt anybody to have an ID to vote.
Yeah, you should, I hate to say it should be a law that you have ID, but most people that drive a vehicle or, you know, get a bank account or, you know, have a photo ID.
I don't see why it should be. I mean, what is the reasoning to not have a law that you have identification?
You know what they'll say? Oh, it's that's like what sounds like Nazi. Like, show me your papers. You know?
Okay, but you need an identification to get a job.
True. What if you don't want to work?
You need identification to open up a bank account. You need identification to buy cigarettes or alcohol, or you need identification to buy a car. You need identification to go to the doctors. There's no choice, but unless you go to the ER, you're not going to go to a doctor. They're like, hey, we don't know who you are. Just we need to see an ID. And
you know what my father had back in the 40s and 50s before it was even cool? A government issue ID. And continuing in his footsteps, I too have multiple government issued IDs. And while that might be shocking to many people in this country, you may ask, how's that happen? It's very simple. It's personal responsibility for all Americans in this country, regardless of what you look like. Sitting with me today is my global entry card, my military ID card, my Texas driver's license, my Texas license to carry, because that's how we roll in Texas, my congressional card, and of course, the good old-fashioned American passport. What sorcery is this? What am I, the black Houdini? How was I able to pull off the impossible and attain not one, not two, not three, but six government issue IDs?
Black Houdini.
Personal responsibility in this country.
I mean, I've heard someone argue against it recently. I forget who it was. I think it was Hillary Clinton.
I'm pretty sure Biden today in his... thing, he also
what
basically argued against as well.
Are you for real?
Yeah, I have to find the clip on it, but he was trying to say the exact
the same thing.
Yeah, he accuses Republicans of wanting to turn back the clock with election integrity laws.
That what? Wait, I having ID doesn't turn back the clock; it moves the clock forward.
Yeah, but going back to not letting Black people vote is basically
oh, for the love of God, where is he?
He's at the NAN. It's Al Sharpton's annual. It's the National Action Network.
Is it that? Oh, okay. I thought it was that one that Don Miller talks about, the same with the same acronym. here is a short montage of nothing but the Black Americans talking about who they're going to vote for.
Biden.
Trump.
Donald Trump.
That's what we're here for, Trump, man.
Trump or Biden?
Trump, man.
Donald Trump.
Trump or Joe Biden?
So easy. A caveman can do it. Trump.
Wow. Trump. Absolutely Trump.
Trump all day.
Trump. What kind of question is that?
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump.
Obviously Donald Trump. That's a no-brainer.
They're at a black tie event here.
Trump by a million miles, man.
Donald Trump.
Wake up, man.
Oh, man. This is not a comedy show, man. It's done. This is Trump country.
Oh, boy. Let's dip into these remarks, shall we?
All right.
We do it twice a day from the Florida Man radio app, powered by Morris Family Farms and Morganic Meats. A powerful dose of archive material there, all commercial free, and your ability to text the show, call the show, or leave a remark. Hit the little microphone.
Hey, Star Trek guy here. Would I watch the lion fight? Where can I place bet? Be-do-be-do.
There's another letter from that guy. And we'll get into it later. I'll put up a poll on X. Follow the show. Follow me, rather, at The Burke Show. The Burke Show.
How much would you pay?
That's the other thing. I'm not paying what I would pay for a Tyson fight.
Would you throw 50 down to watch Man versus Lion?
Is it worth? He said there'll be some.
There'll be some preliminary stuff like child versus kangaroo or something like that. I'm taking kangaroo on that.
Toddler versus ferret. Yeah. That's coming up too. As long as it's because this could be over in no time.
He pounces and the old punch glove doesn't do anything for you and he's ripped to shreds.
Right. Look at Siegfried and Roy. I forget which one it was, but those tigers were apparently, like them. And one, about bit his head off.
Howdy, guys. It's Nate in Bakersfield, California. Shando, I have something that's a little bit off topic, but I think it's pertinent because Movie Man Mike comes in today. I was watching the A&E channel last night. And I saw a commercial. There's a new show starting on Sunday night, and it's about called The Secrets of the Hell's Angels, and it looks pretty good. So I don't know if you want to check it out, but it's on the A&E channel Sunday.
Secrets of the Hell's Angels. Are there really any secrets about that group anymore?
Oh, I'm sure there are.
You think?
I'm sure there are some things we'll never know about what the Hell's Angels have done.
I keep hearing that the president does not have authority to forgive student debt or student loans. But then I keep hearing that he is forgiving all these loans. Obviously, it's just a play to get to buy some votes. It's just going to be one of those things that all these kids are going to think they're getting these loans written off, and then they're going to find out, surprise, not going to happen. But thank you for your vote. You know the scoop.
He did. He used the method that he used the last time, the post 9/11
emergency
forgiveness. It'll probably be challenged.
I saw at least five lawyers that have already started to put in challenges against it. So it won't go very far. It'll do the same thing. People will look at it. All of a sudden their balance will say zero because they say, they got forgived. Or they'll have to go to you do the website where you put the application and right. Say, you're going to be forgiven once this goes through.
Yeah, but around late November.
And then later on, you'll get the thing that says, oh, no, you weren't forgiven, which is what happened to a lot of people. How many people were complaining like, I went and got a new car. And
oh, man.
Why do people pay any attention to triggered? It got no, it wasn't even in existence 20, 30 years ago. Triggered. You hurt my feelings. Tough. Suck it up.
Right.
That's a sign of the times. Bidu bidu.
I would love to be the person that answers or that the triggered person complains to. You know, and I'm just saying, look, I'm really sorry. I'm sorry to feel that way. Is there anything I can do to make you feel better? You want a glass of water or something like that? Or
I'll give you a pat on the back.
But I'm not going to remove that dance troupe because they're shirts.
Oh, sounds like old airline Karen there needs her fingers subsequently laid down on a table and beaten mercilessly with a hammer until she's no longer able to hold her device.
You know that when she's not on an airplane, she is asking to see the manager of the hotel, of the restaurant, of the shoe store, wherever she is.
Yeah, talking about that Karen that's snitching on all the Delta employees checking their telephones on the plane. Look, someone needs to get in touch with that kid that's keeping track of all the airplanes like Elon Musk and Taylor Swift and whatnot. And that kid needs to start tracking this chick so all the Delta people can log on and go, oh, hell no, Karen's on my flight. Keep your phones away. Karen alert. Diddle-dee.
So two things for that guy that's going out with that older lady. Number one, he'll need to bring a broom with him so he can knock the cobwebs out first. And second, if he feels like he's inside of a jar of mayonnaise, that's not on him, okay? That's completely normal at that age. Be-do, be-do.
To the letter for that 25-year-old about that older woman. Like, bro, you're 25. You're always supposed to have condoms on you, you idiot.
Are you?
I mean, you never know.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't leave them in your wallet. Don't do that.
No?
Yeah, that's historically bad for your the condoms. They degrade in there.
Plus, you get that little ring in your wallet. Yeah. Everybody's like, what's up with that? You got a condom in there?
Hey, Nizagite. Yep. Older women rule. My wife is 7 years older than me, and we've been together 35 years. But yeah, best thing I ever did. Beater, beater.
Well, that's a little more than seven. It's 25. A quarter century.
That old Tinder boy needs to carry a little blue pill with him, so when it goes round four, you forgot the most important thing, tell them to leave the lights on and check that cooter out for no bumps. Come on.
Come on. Oh, boy. 25-year-old doesn't need a blue pill.
I mean he's like round four or five, you know, the mind is still four, but the flesh just isn't still going. Yeah, so
it's true.
Tunde Tuna. Heather, you really need to note and mark that. Shando's saying, Mom, I've been watching videos of guys kiss and it's turning me on. That's going to make a great image or a promo later. Beedo, beedo.
What's up, fellas? I got a question about these, you know, protesters at the dude's house. If someone's at your house and refuses to leave, don't you have the right to, like, whip their ass or like, physically remove them? Because I mean, I can't imagine somebody like won't leave. No, you're getting out of my house. And we need to bring back being able to get your ass whipped for being disrespectful, period. That all these kids act like they can't get beat up, and they need to learn that they can.
Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. Well, you got to remember, we're talking about liberals from, you know, professors from Berkeley. So they probably, if they saw someone punch someone else, they'd probably vomit.
Yeah. Somebody would just,
What's up, guys? Ray here. Heather, it's funny because I had a cousin that he was totally, I mean, all through his whole life as a child and until this day, was totally bent, like full on sideways, like fairy tale as they come. And we thought he was queer as can be this whole time until he graduated from high school and got a smoking hot girlfriend. So he proved us all wrong. Ray out, beetle beetle.
Very sound like he needs some nasal spray.
Allergies.
Yeah.
Hey guys, it's been real, it's been fun, but I am going to pack my bags and move to South Africa ASAP. And to the young guy that's going to hook up with the older chick, the reason she's doing that is because guys in her age bracket have to go to places like the erection clinic, or so I've heard. Beedoo, beedoo.
That's a paid endorsement, sir. I think it's... I don't know. I think it's a thing. Is she considered a cougar at her age?
Yeah, she'd be a cougar. I don't know about her, you know, if she's a mom or not. She might fall into that MILF status, too.
Oh, yeah. Probably right in between, right in the cusp of MILF and cougar.
Star Trek guy. How I think OnlyFans works, or way to describe it, is it works a lot like Twitter. But instead of being able to just follow anybody, you have to pay to follow certain people. And the most popular people are like $10 a month. And then as you fall to the bottom, there are some free accounts that don't have any nudes. And then there are accounts that are $1, $2, $3 for some of the amateurs that are unknown. So you could spend $10 a month and follow 20 people.
I like, he's like, that's how I think it would probably be working if I was to run OnlyFans myself. Not that I've ever been on there and looked.
For the girl whose boyfriend is on OnlyFans, have we thought to ask if she's, you know, taking care of him to an extent to where he doesn't need to visually stimulate himself? It's two sides to every story. I'm going to guess it's been a little dry.
Could be.
I always think it's hilarious when somebody says, oh, I'm triggered. It's like, well, I think that's a you problem, bro. Like, if you're triggered, maybe you need to work on that. I don't know what to tell you.
Right. But we've catered to these people for so long that they know that in many cases that one person being triggered at say, a flag, we'll get that flag taken down, even if there's 500 people there. And we need to be saying, well, we're not responsible for your feelings.
Yeah. You're one person. There's a stadium of 300 people that want to see those ladies line dance their asses off. They're going to stay out there and you could go.
Yeah. If you're that triggered by it, then you know where the door is.
This is Wycliffe Gene. Tell that young kid to go over there to that lady's house and knock dust off that stinky wrinkle. He'll be happy.
Also, she's not a 20-something girl herself. I'm sure she would appreciate some respectful banter.
Yeah, easy. That was hilarious, man. The thing about the two G.I. Joes. Give me a break, man.
I had a G.I. Joe, and that's the one that had like the short felt hair, and it had the felt beard.
Oh, so it was like one of the original ones.
Yeah, and then the felt side had come off. It looked like he had alopecia or something.
Easy, what's that thing from Futurama? The mind is willing, but the body is bruised and broken. No more snoo-snoo.
Mm-hmm. No more what?
Snoo-snoo.
I wouldn't know. I didn't watch that show.
Ah, chance on an other guy in a one hung low. Who don't like older women? I'm 50 years old. I meet 75-year-old girl. Took her out dinner. Found out she had no teeth. And no problem. We still have good time. Okay, got to go. Got another day with 80-year-old.
80.
Man, you guys went into cop killing straight into butt sizes. It almost seemed like the CNN video where they were playing the sirens going off in Ukraine, and then they cut to the Applebee's commercial. It was kind of weird.
We like to shake it up. It's not all, doom and gloom.
It's a Friday.
Yeah.
Ray Ray, just tell your friend that smoking hot chick is just a decoy. Dude's probably gay.
All right. Those are the remarks early in the show for a Friday. Powered by Morris Family Farms and Morganic Meats. Where in the darkness do we go on this Friday?
We're going back to one of my favorite subjects. And I know there's a lot of people that you just can't afford health care right now. Medicines are way too expensive. And lucky enough, throughout history, we've had some great, you know, cures and medicinal things that you could do that you could just go collect outside right now. You know,
in the yard.
I mean, yeah. Do you have moles in your yard?
I do have an area.
I can save you from having having teeth problems.
With a mole?
Yeah.
All right. I'm not kissing a mole. I'm here to tell you.
It's a lot different.
All right. We'll do that next. Stick around. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. Let me flash it up. By the way, they dug Cato Kaelin out. I saw him last night on Fox and again just today.
Oh, you know he's banking on this right now.
I don't know that he ever got any acting gigs out of the thing. But
I don't think so, but all these interviews he's getting money out of.
Yeah, oh yeah. So they're showing pictures, and we've seen them back during the trial of a battered Nicole Brown system, several different pictures. I mean, badly beaten in the face. And we've heard a phone call that she made a 911. But he never was arrested, to my knowledge, for any domestic violence.
I don't think so.
You think the cops got to his house and she answers the door and they're like, where is he? And then he comes around and goes, oh, it's Juice. What do you say, Juice?
Juice, toss the pigskin with us in the front yard.
Yeah, you want to sign this for my kid? I mean, I don't know. It looks like, you know, to the average person, if your wife were to show those photographs, or, you know, or a cop were to see her face, so that you'd be in jail immediately. I don't know how you got around it. Slurpee days, is that today? Oh, it's Saturday.
Yeah.
Oh, it's tomorrow?
Yeah.
I haven't had a Slurpee in forever. I mean, what's
It's good for social media for
7-Eleven. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, those things don't cost them anything.
Right.
And they get a ton of social media people bringing in like fish bowls or
I've got a little one. I think it's 1.2-gallon glass antique aquarium.
There you go. Take it in there.
But I don't like Slurpees. It's the brain-free city. And you're going to bring something huge in there, and either you're going to get eight friends with long straws to drink it, or you're going to try to drink it. You're going to brain freeze, and then it's going to melt in no time, and you got a giant igloo cooler full of sugar water. Right?
Yeah, exactly that. If you can even find a 7-Eleven that the machines work half the time.
Or if you take a whole bunch out of it, it takes a while for it to, it fills itself, but it's got to freeze back up again.
Yeah. And, you know, half the time, not all the flavors are even working.
Yeah. Well.
But you can go be wacky.
It is pretty smart, I guess. Do you think that this article, I hear words coming from young kids. I don't have any young kids around me, but I hear kids use words or phrases that I don't know what they are, you know? Like, I hear the phrase NPC.
Okay.
That means non-playable
character.
Non-playable?
Yes.
Which generally means what in the gamer world?
If you're the character in the game, is you. You can interact. Other people that are friends can interact. A non-playable character would be like a person that gives you quests or missions, but they don't do anything other than just be a part of the game. They're just there.
No one's playing them.
Nobody's playing them.
What about side quest?
Same kind of thing. It's not a main quest thing. It's just to do something on the side to kill time.
Okay. The people are saying that they might be used nowadays as slang. NPC outside of the screen, blah, blah, blah. Apparently they're using this to describe people, individual people. In real life, side quest means it might refer to hobbies other than tasks, not related. So none of this is a nerf. What is nerf?
Nerf is to make worse. That's kind of the best way to describe it.
Okay.
nerfing something in a game would be if you have a very powerful weapon in a game, they would notch it down. They would nerf it. They would take the power off it a little bit. So it makes it not as powerful as it was.
Where are we dropping?
Same thing. That's a video game term of you got a map where you land.
Low on HP?
Yeah, dying.
How about Giat?
I don't know that one.
Menti B?
Nope, no clue.
Ijball.
Yeah.
No.
Got me on those. I have no idea what Menti B is.
I think it has to do with mental health or something like that, being mentally.
Oh, like a mental break.
Ah, that's what it is, yeah. Menti B. New York City has an idea. This is brilliant. I don't know why they haven't done this yet. They're going to drop rat birth control in the streets and let these little buggers eat it. They say that the 3 million rats in the city can produce 15,000 each year. So they say they're delicious. They're salty, infused with birth control. Rat migration zones are going to... It's unclear. But you sprinkle them in the street. You don't want, you know, a dog to get them. We put them in the...
I'm more worried about the fact that they use the term delicious. So did they have, like, one of the researchers, like, okay, Tom, I need you to taste this rat birth control?
Oh, really? Damn it.
It's delicious.
I had to drink a gallon of that mosquito birth control last time.
Can I get a handful of these things? They're great.
They're concerned because, you know, once you have they don't want to poison them because you got dead rats everywhere and other animals eat them and blah, blah, blah. And they stank. And they're going to throw everything they have at it. There is a company that actually produces rat contraceptives called ContraPest. And they are like a milkshake for rats. So it means the male rats are going to obviously eat it too.
Yeah. I mean, you can't,
we're not concerned about,
yeah, you can't just willy nilly like, all right, you got nipples, here's some birth control.
You can't, they're not concerned about the, hormonal changes that male rats may be feeling.
They don't care.
Sensitive later.
But this is that, you get the lizards to kill the spiders and you need the cats to kill the lizards.
Right.
It sounds almost the same thing. You're going to give rat birth control, and it's going to cause some other issue later down the line where who knows what else is going to have to be done to kill whatever else comes from this.
They have had done everything. Remember they had a rat czar? The guy made $85,000 a year? Is he still working?
Yeah, he's the one who figured out this birth control thing.
Oh, okay.
They had a little, I'm sure they had like a little powwow seminar, and they're like, what if we give the rats birth control? Will that work? Somebody call down to see if there is a rat birth control company.
They're very cheap. It's $5 for a pound of these things. This is not the first time. They did it back in 1967. The governor at the time, Nelson Rockefeller, proposed using small doses of oral contraceptives by baiting the rats with doctored food. They say Flocko the Owl died from probably eating. He did have rat poison in him, did he?
And pigeon herpes.
That's right. A scorching case of pigeon herpes at the time. All right, let's get dark, shall we?
Yes, let's do that.
It's Disturbing History with EZ. There's a lot of history out there. Some of it isn't in the books.
Stay alive, but having to pay for the doctor and insurance, and then you go down to your local pharmacy and they're like, yeah, you've got a prescription for flumoxacitine and pepsikinodomidine and all this stuff that you have no idea what it is, and honestly you have your doctor just rattle it off and you're like, okay, I gotta go back online and Google what the hell my doctor just prescribed for me. But before that, before we had all these weird prescriptions and doctors that are just giving you chemicals that whatever this pharmacy tells you it does, it'll get rid of your whatever, but may make your hair fall out and anal leakage.
You may
and
get
that.
Addicted to it, and yeah, you'll be S&D on the street for it.
Yeah, it all happens. There were things that we did naturally. We still do some.
Yeah, a lot of that hocus pocus, my parents were into that. My dad still is. Well, probably not the way you're talking about, but I'm talking like tissue salts and different vitamins and all this.
Yeah, I mean, I went out to the flea market a couple weeks ago, and there's a stand out there that literally had all the just every medicinal powder that you possibly could see out there. So, just still in glass jars, probably from like the 80s. And
wow.
I might trust sometimes ahead of certain other things, but some of these, you're probably not going to want any of these. I'll tell you that.
Well,
right
I
now.
Don't know. I have a lot of ailments.
All right. Well, tooth hurting? Got a toothache?
Not at the moment, but I'd like to have a cure if you have a...
Yeah, not a big fan of going to the dentist.
No.
The guy pricking fingers in his mouth.
I hate my dentist with a passion.
And they got that... They always wear those rubber gloves that they squeak in your mouth. I'm not a big fan of that. How about you find yourself a mole?
A mole or a vole?
This one says a mole.
I had some moles. My neighbor helped me kill them. Gave me some mole, poison mole worms. But now they've come up on the other side of my driveway.
Well, this comes from a 17th century book of medical device. And to cure a toothache, take a live mole, pop it into a brass pot. So make sure you get your brass pot handy, your live mole.
Copper won't do. It's got to be brass.
It's got to be brass.
All right.
Clap on the lid and let the mole die a agonizing death of dehydration / starvation.
Okay.
This is a big part of it. The dehydration starvation has to be a part of it.
You
can't just remove its head or anything like that. Once the poor creature's suffering is at an end, you chop up its tiny furry corpse and remove the innards. And dry the rest near a fire. Hold the now mummified mole parts to your sore face. And away goes your toothache.
A mummified mole body, you just hold it next to on your cheek.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was the brass pot. You're getting a little leeching in the brass pot. Also, the fear of the mole as it perishes.
Yeah, his adrenal gland.
Mm-hmm. Another book advises, if you're not a big fan of that one, another book advises cutting off the foot of a live mole and hanging it around the neck. This method is also used to try and soothe teething babies.
Oh, my God. A bloody mole claw hanging around your baby's neck. Oh, Lord.
Nothing stops a child from fussing from their teething issues like a bloody mole claw. But
now they're just crying because the stench of a dead bloody mole claw is in their face.
Have a little issue with some eye inflammation?
I haven't had an eye issue in a while.
Oh, well, that's good. A traditional ingredient for ringworm and wart treatments, something called fasting spittle. Do you want to take a guess what that is?
Fasting spittle?
Yes.
You don't eat for 24 hours and then you spit up as much as you can.
Kind of. It is the first saliva in the mouth on waking in the morning.
Oh, the stinky saliva.
That.
Ugh, pasty.
Yeah. It was also used for eye inflammations. It was actually apparently used for Jesus. Mark 8, 23, 23, 25. I guess it's in there. I have to look that up. But doctors also use that.
It's in the Bible?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Apparently they used some fasting spittle on Jesus. The spit was applied directly to the inflamed eye. Not necessarily the patient's spit either. If the doctor could felt the urge to work up saliva and try his luck, he could give you some as well for his fasting spittle.
You could use someone else's fasting spittle?
Normally it was either a doctor or probably a total stranger.
Okay.
If you weren't in the mood to have someone spit in your eye, you could also enjoy some snail slime.
There's something to snail slime, because my wife brought back some snail slime eye creams and stuff from Korea.
Also, you can enjoy the fluid left after boiling snails alive in vinegar.
Ugh. You ever had escargot?
Oh, yeah. Love it.
Me too. You think it might be slimy, but it's not slimy at all.
No, it's more like calamari.
Chewy. Yeah.
There may be a come a time when a child is being weaned that a nursing mother wants to dry up her breast milk. Or perhaps the mother doesn't want to breastfeed at all. So how do you, cut off the taps, apparently?
Oh.
In parts of the 19th century Europe, women with milk-swollen breasts turned to Smith's water, which is the bucket of water used by blacksmiths to quench their red-hot implements. And apparently, that was what dried out the old milkers. Some of that good old-fashioned blacksmith water.
You just slather them on your on the breast.
The water was splashed on the breast and left to air dry. Supposedly, the water had somehow charged with heat from the Smith's forge, and the heat made things dry. Incidentally, Smith's water was also used as treatment for runny sores as well, most likely under the same principle. And funny enough, it may actually have some science behind it.
Why?
Well, you're when you're doing blacksmith stuff, you're
something sloughs off the metal.
Yeah, you're ionizing that water at some point. So there may actually be some weird correct medicinal, but they had no idea what they were doing.
Imagine the first guy. I mean, it's like, I don't know, what can we do? Oh, my boobs are so swollen with milk today. I don't want to I'll try this. Slather it on.
That just sounds like a perverted blacksmith, too.
Yeah, it does.
Your wife feeling a little swollen? Bring her on down over here. I'll slather some blacksmith water on her. Dry those suckers right up. Gout.
Oh, gout's terrible.
It's a painful condition. However, there is a logic of combating pain with pain.
What are you saying? Your gout hurts so bad, punch a guy in the face?
Kinda. Physicians of old recommended patients suffering from gout to whip themselves with stinging nettles until their skin was inflamed and blistered.
On your feet?
Oh,
or
just
the
anywhere.
Affected area?
Yeah, which I guess in theory kind of works because you're not thinking about your gout anymore. You're thinking about the fact that my skin is hurting.
Right, but when your skin heals up...
Well, by then, maybe the gout's healed.
You didn't cure anything with that method then.
Some patients preferred to have their servant whip them, or the doctor himself would do a little whipping for you.
I bet he would.
Honestly, did it work? Probably not. More than likely, it was just kind of you stopped thinking about that because you were like, ow, my skin hurts from whipping myself with stinging nettles. Yeah. Got a little gingivitis. Suffering from bleeding, swelling, decaying gums, loose teeth. Well, toothbrushing and dental hygiene were pretty not commonplace in the 18th century.
No? They didn't have dental floss back
then?
They
would say over in the UK, it's still not that common. Well, the dentistry then consists mainly of yanking or chiseling out rotten teeth while the patient screamed in agony. However, help was at a hand for the brave of heart who, desperate to try all natural remedies available for relief, no matter how bizarre. And a French doctor at the time, he advocated gargling this one liquid to cure your gingivitis.
Don't say it's semen or urine from an animal.
Urine.
Oh, God. From what? Your own urine?
Your own urine at a very specific time.
What? First thing in the morning.
It is. Your patient's own morning urine.
Oh.
Or, unless there was a baby handy.
Oh, no. A baby urine?
Or a woman of respectable habits, so not a prostitute.
I don't want your dirty prostitute urine.
Well, I mean, it's probably a good idea if you do have gingivitis not to be gargling with prostitute urine.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I do like, though, that they were like, okay, you got three choices. Your own urine, but it has to be first thing in the morning. Like that very first one, you're breaking the seal. That's the one. Or a baby. Or a woman that's not a prostitute and you can talk her into it.
Right.
Those are the very specific ones. You don't gargle any other time? Like, you're after lunch one? Nah, can't do that.
What are your... Obviously, they didn't care about their breath back then either, right?
They already were suffering from gingivitis,
yeah,
so...
Yeah, true, yeah. They didn't anything minty, fresh urine?
Well, it's that first in the morning, I guess. Actually, I think that first in the morning is not the one you want to go for. Not a lot of hydration going on. Got a little issue with your liver?
Oh, boy.
Well... In previous centuries, doctors reached for the syringe, the clyster or enema syringe, not the hypodermic, to treat a number of illnesses. The medicine was injected into the poor patient's bowels, depending on the effect the physician wished to produce. It was not just water. It could be broth, ox gall, a little opium, wine, tea, even a little tobacco smoke.
Tobacco smoke?
Yeah, it's great for your liver.
What, you'd start smoking or just blowing it on the affected area? Or inhaling it?
There's an enema going on, and there's a man with a pipe on the other end of that enema.
He's blowing...
smoke up your ass, yes. That's kind of... Yeah.
Is that where they came from?
For sufferers of liver complaints, such as cirrhosis of liver, the go-to remedy was the same thing you're using on your teeth.
Urine?
Yes.
Not in the enema.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's not sanitary.
And not just your morning one. It was whatever the urine the doctor had hanging around on a shelf, though.
From another person?
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't make any sense at all. Well, I guess so, because a lot of people that have the problem in their gut take a freeze-dried doo-doo tablet mm-hmm. to kick it into gear, right?
For severe cases, the clyster syringe was filled with a blend of urine and strong coffee. Because nothing fixes your liver like black coffee like a cowboy would drink.
Yeah, with some Uranus.
With some urine in there.
I did read an article. I saw a news piece on this couple that gave themselves coffee enemas, became addicted to them.
Yeah.
And they had to lay on the floor in their house and give themselves a coffee enema like twice a day, three times a day.
It's bad.
Do you even care about the quality of the coffee at that point? Are you getting Starbucks or just Folgers?
Oh, no. You got to get a high quality.
French roast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I figured. Freshly ground.
Yeah, you're doing your own, probably French press.
Yeah, definitely French press.
You're not heading down to Dunkin' and getting the big to-go jug of Dunkin' Donuts coffee.
Oh, God.
Mr. Burke, you seem to be getting a lot of those jugs of coffee lately.
Yeah,
are you all right?
Yeah, I'm good.
If you had a little jaundice, probably from your liver failure and the lack of the urine duty.
And that smoke that got blowing up your...
To treat jaundice in the 18th century, a perfectly respectable white wine was ruined by adding a quantity of sheep's dropping and creating an alcoholic tincture of poop.
Sheep doo-doo?
Sheep doo-doo, yes.
In the wine?
Yes. A wine glass of this concoction was enlivened by the addition of saffron and turmeric. I mean, you got yourself. There's some good stuff in there. Saffron, turmeric are really good for liver problems.
But the sheep doo-doo.
Yeah, I'm not sure where that.
Any fecal matter, it shouldn't be consumed.
That was supposed to be drunk before you went to sleep every night.
Sleep like a baby.
The pharmacopoeia notes that the patient should take care of avoiding catching a cold as the medicine doth incline a little sweat. So if you've just enjoyed a glass of your sheep poop, you're going to sweat out. It's stinky.
They suggest a cheat. What?
Your sweat's going to be stinky, yeah. Of course, there is other places you could do it. You could add some fresh sheep dung to a cup of beer or ale, leave it to steep overnight, and chug down the mess in the morning.
No. I can't. Can't do that.
Well, if you got a blood disease, tough to treat. Even tougher back then because they had no idea what they were doing with
it. Yeah, I had no idea.
So they were like, you know what we should do? Poop and urine.
In the bloodstream?
Well, this one's from a bug, though. Called pine honey, an old-fashioned name given to the secretions of a species of aphid, or in layman's term, basically bug poop. It was mixed with sarsaparilla and assorted flowers to produce a medicinal syrup that was supposed to purify the patient's blood. This was believed to be especially effective when used in conjunction with purging. And have some aphid poop. Then sarsaparilla. The administration of strong laxatives kept you clamped to the chamber pot in an era before flush toilets or squeezable soft paper. Perhaps after a mighty purging, you no longer carried that the fact the doctor was spooning bug poop into your mouth. I don't know if that helped your bloodstream at all, but...
The problem is that also, although I'm sure the medical expenses and healthcare costs were not nearly what they are today... But you didn't know what the hell, you know, this bug poop is very rare. I had, we send people to the rainforest to grab these aphids and then we squeeze their little butts and get the...
And I mixed it with the finest sarsaparilla I had.
Jesus.
Got a little bit of cough. Well, in the 17th century, if you suffered from an annoying, persistent cough, which I think probably everybody had back then.
Yeah.
We were all dying. The best remedy that was found in your garden.
Roses?
No.
My rosemary plant?
Well, no.
Basil?
You would hope so. But it was slugs and earthworms. Of middling size. Make sure you got them of middling size.
Not large.
Not large or small. Middling size.
Middling.
Were to be bruised by lightly mashing them with a blunt instrument. The worms were cut up alive, then added with the slugs to a pot of spring water, brought to a boil, and poured over candied sea holly root.
Finally, I got something a use for my candied seed wedding.
Sea holly root.
Sea holly root, whatever.
If slugs were unavailable, ordinary snails would do, but the doctor had to fish out the shells afterwards, so they didn't actually pull the... They would just crush the... They weren't good doctors. A pint of this dubious liquid was added to a pint of milk and drunk by the patient.
Oh, and milk!
And fresh milk. The concoction was also said to cure consumption.
Oh, consumption is when you're... is
tuberculosis.
What? Yeah, that's right. I got the consumption.
And finally, you got a little asthma, harder breathing, you need an inhaler every once in a while.
Yeah.
Well, of course, there were no inhalers in the 18th or 19th, early 19th century. Instead, physicians recommended swallowing a young frog every day. A live one.
Oh, my God. Not live.
No, a live one.
Oh, a live one, yeah.
Well buttered.
Well buttered. So it helps it go down fast, I bet.
Yep. And well buttered should the patient have difficulty choking the struggling amphibian down their gullet. There was also a slightly less traumatic version was to bind a live frog to the patient's throat and leave the frog to fight helplessly for its life until it expired. So you had a little frog, like, necklace going on. A little frog choker. The prolonged death agonies was supposed to help the condition.
The more the frog agonized in death?
Oh. If the patient was unable to handle the frog, a handful of live spiders might do the trick equally well. Swallowed alive and kicking their eight legs.
I bet most people chose the frog.
I took the frog, yeah.
I'll go with the frog on that one. Thank you very much. Oh, my God. Would the doctor be expected to have, like, all these things there? Like, oh, I have some very lovely, juicy little frogs. Let me just get my assistant to butter them up.
All right, Timmy, you've got some issues, so I'm going to have to send you down. Here's a note. Go down to the apothecary and get yourself, I need 2 vials of urine. I don't care where it comes from. Make sure it's, well, at least a proper woman. And also, give me a couple handful of frogs. And if you can't handle the frogs, bring some spiders with you. We'll get you all fixed up.
When we return, Disneyland is cracking down on disability cheaters. That means you can no longer rent your neighbor's handicapped kid to cut the line on the rides. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network.
On Florida Man Radio.
Oh, people have been doing this for a long time. And I'm not going to claim that I am an angel in this regard. So, the Disability Services Program is you get to go way up the line. Usually there's not a line for you. Not just you, but anyone in your group up to, what, 12, I think, something like that?
It's been a long time since I've been there, so I don't know what the actual numbers they let you do.
So park goers have been suspicious online about this program being abused. You know, you bring one, invite your neighbor's, kid with a disability, and you and your whole family go front of the line.
Yeah, there was a whole thing of companies that was their whole thing. You would call them and, like, hey, we'd like to
book a vacation. They'd rent you a disabled person.
You could rent a disabled person to take with you for your vacation, which was awesome for the disabled
vacation
person.
Or?
Well, for the trip to Disney. And a lot of people do, like, 7-8 days when they go out to Disney.
Oh, my God.
So you just make a special little disabled person to go with you?
I bet it's not cheap either.
No, it's not, but you get they get a free vacation out of it.
That's true. But you got to pay them something, right? I mean, are they disabled people that really like Disney? Or?
I'm sure they are. I mean, the last thing you'd want is to get one that doesn't, and you're just annoying them the whole day long.
Well, over the last 4 years, a travel agent that booked specialized vacations for families and individuals with a variety of disabilities and needs has been the go-to rescuer for Orlando trips. He does about 100 a year. They also know the disability service inside and out. They work with clients that have mobility impairments, autism, spectrum disorders, celiac disease. Come on!
Yeah. These are the ones that have caused the issues.
Celiac?
Yeah. Can't stand in line because you might poop yourself.
Oh, get out of here. He says the work is very fulfilling. He suffers from gluten intolerance and knows the rigor planning meals at theme parks where pizza and churros are king.
You don't have to eat the pizza and churros.
You don't have to. Yeah.
If you're gluten intolerant.
I can't believe. When I go up there and they say, well, where's your disability person? Well, I'm an alcoholic. This is a disability.
I mean, yeah.
Let's go, kids.
If I stand in line too long, I'm going to have to hit one of these kids.
This guy's soon to be out of work because they're going to change that I mean, they can change it, if right? I mean, what are they going to do? You still showed up with a disabled person. Last to see the ID makes you the same last name?
From my understanding, one, they're going to do some more updating to, train them better. The kids that are doing these lines, or adults, whatever, the employees,
right.
Train them better on it. They're only allowed to take 3 people with them at a time instead of a group of 12. So you can have your one disabled person and then 2 other people to go there that can take them through there.
You have to have one disabled person per how many able persons?
Well, you can only take 3 with that disabled person pass.
Oh, okay.
But
what's the process of getting the pass? It's not just a visual inspection at the gate, right? You have don't they make sure, let's vet this guy's disability?
No. A lot of them, you just went to a cast member at the line.
My friend Shannon here has a loose stool problem. Yeah. We're going to have to go with the front of the line.
Oh, now I know Universal, my understanding is they have a system that's like IBECSS or something like that. I forget what
they're doing. Irritable bowel.
It's
it's irritable bowel.
It's not that, but it's the name of their program they do.
Oh.
And you actually have to go online and have it vetted, and then you bring the pass with you, and it says I went through this system. Here's my disability pass.
Oh, see what you've done.
Yeah, he's leaking.
Get him. The whole line's gonna have to be.
Get him on Space Mountain before it gets bad.
Disney will work with health professionals from Health Alliance to, as needed, to determine the eligibility of the DAS program applicant. So the verification will be extended with passes expiring in 120 days. Pass party sizes are trimmed to 3, like you said. So they're going to find out whether or not your disability is real or not. Which sounds like a violation of the ADA Act itself. I don't know, but are you really? Hey, get up out of that chair. Let me see you walk. Come on.
I think they're more just trying to scare people a little bit, because it is now, if they find out, whatever way they find out, you can be lifetime banned. So I think they're trying to scare people now to not.
Will it affect this guy that has the business?
Well, I mean, if he's really helping people that have kids with disabilities to go to the park, then no. I mean, if that's his whole thing is helping people that, a kid in a wheelchair or Down syndrome, or the person actually has a disability, then yeah, this guy's running a good program that's helping people get there.
Wait a second. But he's also helping scam the system.
Yeah, if he's
good for the kids, but it's a little scammy for the family that brings them along.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
But the kids, are they just getting to go and have a good time?
Yeah, I mean, if the kid is having a good time, then it's not hurting anybody. If you're there just to scam because you can't wait in line with everybody else, and you just say, oh, well, my ADHD means I can't stand in line because something bad will happen.
They say this pass doesn't automatically put you at the front of the line, but instead it'll give you guests a return time for a ride or an attraction. Then they will be placed in the same line with those that have paid the extra money to skip the normal line.
Yeah, it's a free fast pass.
All right. Well, damn it. Little Timmy down the street.
Timmy down the street still can get there if Timmy from down the street has a disability.
Well, I just thought it was, they're doing everything they can to accommodate people with disabilities. And, I mean, normally, like, if you had I owned a bar in Austin, Texas. It was one street below, story below street level. It was the basement of a building that was there previously. It had been torn out and dug out. And I had to install a damn $15,000 elevator to go, 6 feet. Yeah. But if a guy with autism came in, I don't have to do anything special for him. Or celiac disease, I don't have to do anything special for them. You know what I mean?
Well, you would have to. They would come to you and say, well, I have celiac disease. Make sure that nothing with gluten has touched this and this. You have to rinse down. You have to wash all your utensils. You have to scrape the grill.
Sorry, lady. You came to the wrong place.
I mean, they're going to make you got to do that.
Who's on the horn?
It's actually Brandon from Iowa.
Brandon? Man, I haven't talked to him forever. Hey, buddy. How are you?
Took Shannon. Hey, Andrew.
How you doing, buddy?
Wow. Well, I've been listening, but I really like this new time slot.
I do too. Well, except for the traffic. on the way home is much worse than it used to be at 7 when I left here.
But about the wheelchair and all that stuff, the thing that they really need to crack down on is like concerts, because they let anybody buy a handicap ticket to sit in the handicap section.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they just want to sell tickets.
So when you get there to see it and you're handicapped and some able-bodied people are in the handicap section?
Yeah, and either you'll find a nice person and you'll have a ticket already, and they'll say, well, that's too bad, you have to either... And they usually have good tickets, so...
Hello?
His phone's never been good.
Yeah. You there?
Yep, I'm still here.
All right.
Yep.
Well, good to hear your voice, man. Good. No, no problem at all. It's good to hear from you. How have you been?
Yeah. Pretty good. I cried a little bit over both of us because I don't have anybody to tease anymore.
But, yeah, I mean, rest in peace. Bubba. Yeah, rest in peace.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Yeah. Good to hear from you, Brandon.
All right, guys.
Be good, buddy.
All right.
See ya.
All right, talk to you later. Bye.
You got it. I haven't heard from him in a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Is it because he wouldn't couldn't make fun of Bubba more than anything else? I used to. Speaking of that bar I had in Austin, I had another one in Dallas, so I was flying back and forth quite a bit, and it's like a 45-minute flight, but. I could go up and down in a day, no problem. And so I'd got to go to the airport, get on Southwest Airlines. That's back when they had the little plastic cards they gave you, A, B, C, D, whatever. And I'd never get there on time. I learned a trick from a friend. I brought along a cane. When they needed pre-board, I'd sorry ass let my way up there. Like, oh. Then I'd sit down in the chair, go, like I just had surgery or something. When they caught on to that, eventually... I made friends with a gate agent who was always at my gate to Dallas out of the Austin airport. And I would call him in advance. I'd bring a gift certificate to the car to the bar. Like, here's $100 to spend at the bar. And he would save the A boarding pass on the bottom. And he'd deal it to me from the bottom of the deck. Then he got fired.
They figured out after you kept skipping down the gangway to the plane, right?
Yeah. But like, get off the plane, like, you know.
You're that twirling a cane. Do-do-do-do-do.
Oh, boy. There's a group in Gurnee, Illinois. You think Gurnee, Illinois is I don't know how far it is from Chicago. But some suburban police departments have been put on warning and warning the community about a game that high schoolers are playing. They call Senior Assassins. It's harmless, really, but it could be quite dangerous. Here's what happens. They choose their target, and the rest of the seniors, the assassins, the other students, they wear ski masks. They go in together with water guns and hit their target with water guns.
Yeah, it's a game of assassin.
Well, they went into a Point Pancake House on Skokie Highway. In there, they were attempting to spray down their target, but also in there was a concealed carry license holder and mistook the situation for a genuine threat. Nobody was injured. He was in the process of pulling his weapon. It was displayed. Nobody was hurt. Cops say the situation could have escalated quickly. Well, in one direction.
Yeah.
They say, the Senior Assassins game has gone viral across the country on social media. In the game, they assign one random person. Then they got to tag him. At times, rules specify teams can't play the game during school hours or on school property. One such call resulted in significant police response based on a homeowner reporting a man with a gun running through the residential yard. St. Charles police last week, a resident called mistaking the game for the gunman lying in wait. You got three young men that are jumping out from a parked vehicle, hiding behind some bushes, and, you know, that kind of portrayed, it looked like an assault. Incidents like these may warrant disorderly conduct charges, as they often cause feelings of being alarmed by disturbed witnesses. Yeah, I would think. You'd have to have an obvious, you know, like one of those neon orange squirt guns.
Even then, if you're running in there with a ski mask on, yelling, "We're going to kill this guy.
Get him.
It's going to take a second before nobody notices this guy's carrying a neon squirt gun.
True. Yeah, you could quickly get whacked by some dude eating some pancakes.
And I'm sure this is, if it didn't, I swore I saw a story from a couple days ago that a cop shot a kid over this, but it could have been something different.
I saw in my X feed yesterday an electric water gun that was badass. Have you seen it? It's white, about that long. It's got lights on the side. It's electric. You charge it up. You just put it, you stick it, it's like a short rifle. And you stick the nose of the barrel into water and hit a button, and a pump sucks up all the water. And then you could hit short bursts. I mean, this thing was shooting some water. You could wash your car with this, you know, if it worked long enough. I got to get one of those.
I think I saw some at Five and Below that were very similar. They might have been cheap knockoff versions of it, but the same thing. They were battery-powered water gun. You did the same thing. You drew the water in.
Yeah, this thing would go like short bursts, like doof, 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 or long. Look pretty accurate. I don't understand. I guess this, we've heard of this story, but it was used in a scam where people were either using a stolen credit card or whatever to phony up a restaurant on DoorDash, a bank account rather. And then people would order stuff. And they would get the money for the credit card, these scammers. And then the food would just go out to random places, right? Or it didn't get any food at all.
No, it would just get delivered to houses.
And then there were cases where a woman would receive food like, you know, four or five times a day. Dude's getting food repeatedly. They were just kind of mysterious to me. You know, I mean, those are obviously part of a scam, more than likely.
There's something, either that or just a vindictive person.
Well, to get a DoorDash delivered, it's got to be paid for as you order it. A lot of pizza places, you just order and say, "Oh, yeah, I'll pay you when you get here." Yes, cash. I'm cash. Justin Ribicki doesn't order pizza very often, but pizzas arrive at his home and his office. There's one company called Pizza 73. He goes, "Every time I see one of these pizzas, their commercials on TV gives me nightmares." In the past 6 months, hundreds of dollars worth of pizzas have been ordered in his name. He doesn't know why. Started in November. One night as his family was sitting down to dinner, all of a sudden the doorbell rings. There's a pizza guy there. None of us in the house had ordered it, and they're bugging us to pay for it. First, it seemed like a simple mistake. He checked his email, saw a confirmation from the restaurant, and sent the pizza back and decided he'd go to the cops the next day and report that somebody was using his identity and his phone number. Before he got to the station, he got a call from the Pizza 73 to confirm a pre-order that had been made. Despite saying it wasn't me, I did not do it, a delivery driver showed up with a hefty order to his business the next day, $150 worth of pizza. He said, "I'm not paying for it." The guy left really pissed and rude, and after that delivery and another one to his home, and another confused delivery driver, he called Pizza 73's head office and told him to cancel any orders made under his name. Then the pizzas started coming from Domino's.
I like the fact that, can you punish your neighbor? Like, your neighbor always orders from Pizza Hut, and you just call Pizza Hut's head office and say, "Hey, I'm so-and-so at 13 somebody never street. And if anybody ever orders pizza from it, it's a joke, and don't let them do it." Can you get them like on a permanent ban list?
I'm sure he had to get the cops, you know, because he had gone to the cops. Early on, they told him to change his phone number. He did, but it didn't help. Since January, he's received 3 Domino's deliveries, with the latest arriving 2 weeks ago. None of the calls have cost him anything, but he's pretty angry and upset that so much food is going to waste. He's very, very frustrating. I don't know where it goes. I'm hoping the homeless, or they sell it by the slice or something. The cop there said the pizza delivery driver told him what's happening is unusual, but it happens a lot more than people think. It was a common thing that we used to see where you get a call. It would always be fairly vast amount of pizzas at a residence. You deliver to them, and you're speaking to the homeowner. They didn't order. Something from a delivery driver perspective that we saw quite often, and back then we didn't call the police. Mischief, fraud, and harassment. The suspects are using some form of technology to manipulate the phone number that's coming from to appear to be our victim's phone number. Yeah, there's apps that do that, right?
Yeah, you can spoof a phone number. They know his email address and his home address.
It's got to be a scorned ex, don't you think? Somebody pissed at him.
This guy got a mistress or something like that?
It has to be. Either someone hates Pizza 73 or Domino's, or they're getting revenge on me or something. I have no clue. I bet he knows.
He's got an old employee or something. Again, these people know his email address, his name, his home address, his phone number.
And they've gone to the expense, or what, I don't know if it costs anything, of getting the app that changes your phone number.
And then they called it, put all those in it, and then when they got blocked at Pizza 73, they were enough that they were, no, we're going to Domino's. This guy is going to feel the pain.
That means that guy can't get Pizza 73 if he wanted it anymore.
I doubt he does at this point. Either that or he just has a... He's going to find out like 2 or 3 years from now, he's got a one buddy that has just been messing with him for the last like 3 or 4 years. Just the long game.
I had a friend one of my best friends in high school together over the summers. You know, when you're just sitting around watching daytime TV, not doing much. We would see there are ads on television there for things like the Burka Lounger, the old person chair that would help you boost up out of the, you know, and we would call the number and say, oh, my God, I'm so interested. This was really interesting, and give the other guy's address and name. And finally, my dad got so ticked off. He said, I was getting catalogs. I was getting catalogs for stuff. Office supplies, Burka loungers, window replacement, all of these things, new awnings.
You could do the same thing with dirty magazines too.
Oh, really?
Because a lot of them would have magazines like Sports Illustrated used to do it too, and all the dirty ones. So when they were in the rack, they would have like a cardboard
cover,
but it would have a piece on the bottom that would be like fill out for your address. You tear those suckers off, fill out the person's name, toss in the mailbox, and they would get catalogs and other stuff from that company.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's a shame if, you know, all these pizzas are getting wasted. I don't even know what they do with...
I'm sure it goes back in the people at Pizza 73 eat a bunch of pizzas that day.
Right. Maybe drop it off to some homeless guy. Japan is warning their environment minister... He's warning the communities that bears are coming out of hibernation and they're hungry. After a meeting, April 11th, the ministry said that it would send a notice to prefectural offices alerting people against bears that are coming out of the winter sleep. A record number of human casualties from bear attacks in the last year.
If it wasn't bad enough in rural Japan where you got to worry about tsunamis or reactors melting
or
down.
Or an earthquake.
Earthquakes. Godzilla's coming out. Now you got to worry about hungry bears.
6 people were killed by bears last year. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's killed. Including injured, that number is 219. Most of them in the same region.
That's a lot of people getting hurt by bears.
They say it's due to a poor crop of beech nuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
which it happens. They love the beech nuts.
Yeah, and they get pissed off when there's no beech nuts.
We have bears running all the... There's always a story in the paper around here about a bear in a tree, in a schoolyard, or running through. You know, we see one running right out here, right behind us, the studios here. People seem to find them in their garages. So you never hear about anyone getting eaten.
Florida brown bears are kind of...
Same.
Yeah.
What are these? Japanese bears?
Big old Japanese bears. I don't know.
Well, they're coming out of hibernation and they're hungry. All right, when we return, movie man Mike If you've got a question, you can text it in or call in. He'll join us next. Let me get my little doodad ready here. He has seen Civil War, I think, right?
I think that was one of the movies he's covering today.
I hope he doesn't crap all over it.
We do need to ask him about the other one, though.
The Hell's Angels?
No, the Squatch movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've saved those here. I got it. Thanks for reminding me. All right, that's next. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. Movie Man Mike joins us. You can read his Mike Clark's reviews in Epic Times, at TheFederalist.com, and in Newsmax magazine, and also here on the Shannon Burke Show. What's up, man? Hello? Oh, wait. I did that. Sorry. Go ahead. No, I got you.
Yeah, your new signal that you're blasting all over the place has paid off to a bit.
Yeah?
I was in Publix 2 days ago, and I was at the customer service desk, and I was talking to them about something or other. And this woman behind me says, "Excuse me, are you on the radio?" I said, "Sometimes."
Nice. Goes,
Are you Movie Man Mike? I said, "Yeah." And she said, "I listen to you every week." I said, "That's great. Thank you so much."
Awesome.
And I didn't get her name, but she was pretty hot. It was great.
Wow.
It was
nice. You should have slipped her a card. Listen to you. If something reviewed, give me a holler. I'll critique it.
Yeah, buddy. To the caller.
To say, movies aren't the only thing I review, sweetheart, if you know what I'm talking about.
Secrets of the Hell's Angels on A&E. I hadn't heard of it. A&E is not press friendly. They do not provide screeners ahead of time. And it comes out on Sunday. And there's nothing on Rotten Tomatoes at all.
Huh.
Which is par for the course. Like I said,
I wanted to ask you about one movie. It's starring Jesse Eisenberg. It's called Sasquatch Sunset.
Yeah. That's on Bleecker Street. That's another studio that is off and on. They have a lot of different PR people handling it. Some people in Atlanta handle it. Some people in Orlando handle it. I didn't receive any kind of invitation to watch it or to get a screener. It also co-stars Riley Keough, who is Elvis's granddaughter.
Right. Yeah, you know that you understand the concept of the movie, right?
It looks like a Sasquatch love story.
It's a Sasquatch group, a little like a family. But it's apparently people are running out of this thing because it's so gross with their bodily, like they just squat and take a thump and they're excreting, mating, and people, it's just been people are running out of the theater or leaving.
Wow. Does the Sasquatch poop in the woods? Well, evidently he does.
I mean, where else would he go? He like going at the rest stop on the highway?
I had a couple of minutes to look at the trailer after the mention of it that you gave, and it looks like a really screwball comedy to me.
Really?
A lot of makeup. I mean, I can't even recognize Jesse Eisenberg or Riley Keough.
All
right. And again, I didn't get an invite on it, but it's a 79% with critics.
Wow.
Which doesn't mean squat, and I'll be getting to that here shortly. And a shout out to our listener, Mary, I believe her name is, who left
lovely,
a remark.
Lovely lady.
Left a remark last week after I was talking about Cape Fear and Schindler's List and how Spielberg didn't want to do Cape Fear because it was too violent, so he decided to do Schindler's List. Not picking up on the fact that Schindler's List was pretty damn violent.
True.
And it was a very observant remark. Thank you, Mary. Okay, the big movie this week is Civil War, directed by Alex Garland, starring Kirsten Dunst as a photojournalist. And this is set in the not-too-distant future, where four different factions of the United States, made up of the Florida Alliance, which is most of the Southeast, the Western Forces with California and Texas, the New People's Army, which is most of the Northwest, are closing in on the loyal states, which is the Northeast and most of the Midwest. The war has been going on for 14 months, and it's soon to be over. The president is played by Nick Offerman, who does not have a party affiliation or a name. And the movie opens with him saying, "We have a decisive victory against the secessionists." And
what do you mean it doesn't have a name? They don't refer to him as a, by a name the whole film?
No, just President.
Wow.
Mr. President.
All right.
And he doesn't have a party affiliation, but he is in his third term, his emergency third term.
Right.
Let's take Donald Trump out of the fact right now. It couldn't be him because he couldn't serve three terms in a row.
Well, the real question is, how did this guy get to a third term?
It's not answered. It's not addressed. The war has been going on for 14 months. And the director and the writer, same guy, Alex Garland, does not give you any backstory, and he doesn't have to. And a lot of people are missing the point. And EZ touched on this last week. This is a road movie with journalists going from New York to D.C. to try to get an interview with the president before the secessionists come in and take him out. So they're encountering various people along the way. And all of it was shot in Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
All of the exteriors were shot in Atlanta, except for the third act, which was shot in London, but is actually set in D.C.
So do they ever identify the reason that we are in a civil war?
No. And that's the point. The whole point here is these four journalists, there's two photojournalists and two writers who are covering the war. And we see what they see. That's it. There's no outside coverage. The camera doesn't cut to something going on someplace else. We only see what they see for the entire movie, which is the point. That's what photojournalists and, you know, war correspondents do. You only see what they see. It doesn't matter what the reason is. And unless you've been living under a rock for the last 3 years, you know what the reasons are.
That's, to me, when I heard the concept of this, the whole meat of it to me was, how did we get into this situation? It would have been, you know, enlightening. I think it would have been a lot more interesting.
Well, you have to see it to get a grasp on the perspective that he's trying to present. But I don't think you really need to have a reason, because the reasons are all around us. You have people on the left who have no common sense, and you have a lot of people on the right who are complacent.
True.
So
do you get the feeling that they carefully avoided that so that this movie would not be perceived as one side or the other?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And people who are deriding it, which is a very small number, actually, are not getting that point.
EZ's brother saw it. What did he say?
He said that it was very, it was like someone was trying to make a movie about politics, but didn't want to talk about politics at all. That visually looked good, the soundtrack was good fight scenes, but they never gave any backstory for anything that was going on.
That is absolutely correct.
All right.
It's absolutely correct.
But your brother sounded like he was upset about it, right? Like
no, he just was. He said it looked good. It was a good action film if you wanted that. But the story sucked. Is basically what he said.
And they run into military people here and there too, and they never really clarify what side they're on.
Oh yes and no. And again, this is not. I saw another review that said something about this is not going to be a civil war with one side wearing blue and the other wearing gray, meaning a battleground. You're going to have people you can't identify, civilians you can't identify, and it's going to be a very different version. And one of the best scenes in the movie, Jesse Plemons, who is Kirsten Dunst's off-screen husband, plays a soldier who captures these journalists and says, "Who are you?" And, you know, he says, "We're Americans." And he says, "What kind of Americans are you?"
Yeah,
and a couple of them give the wrong answers.
You have to figure out if you gave the wrong answer, what kind of American you are. You get shot by a military soldier.
You don't know if he's military. He is wearing fatigues, but it's not an army uniform. And the members of the Western forces are wearing an American flag that has two stars on it, California and Texas. I saw somebody else that said, well, how could California and Texas get along? They're ideological.
Right. That's what I said when I heard that. That's nonsense.
If you look at California, if you go San Francisco, L.A., and San Diego, separate that from the rest of the state. California is a conservative state. If you take those cities out. So it does make sense. And I praise Alex Garland for not spoon-feeding me a reason to figure out what's going on and to present the war from the perspective of the photographers. And there's some very harrowing portions of this movie. The last act takes place in D.C., and it is every bit as visceral as the final act in Saving Private Ryan.
What do you mean?
Lots of violence, lots of gunfire, lots of destruction.
All right. But you don't know who's winning and who's losing. That's the problem with it.
Here's a non-spoiler spoiler for you. By the third act, you figure out who the Western Alliance, who the Western Forces and the Florida Alliance and the New People's Army are. Okay?
All right.
They're taking out the president who does not agree with them.
And the president is backed by the the East Coast, Northeast area.
Yeah, Northeast, Midwest, loyal states, mostly.
Yeah, but the Midwest doesn't. You can't pair the Midwest with New York and New Jersey.
Well,
they're different people.
You got Ohio and Michigan and Illinois that are either blue or purple states.
That's true.
So I just thought it was well done. Again, it's not a traditional war movie. It is a war correspondence movie.
All right.
And to that end, I have some movies here I want to recommend.
What was its ratings with critics?
83.
And audience, nothing yet?
85.
Wow.
4.5 out of 5 for me. Top 10 list. And I was predisposed to like this because I love this director. He did Ex Machina and Annihilation, two science fiction movies. And again, I tag this as dystopian drama and speculative fiction in my tags for my review, which is on the Epic Times. Look it up right now. So it's going to strike you as strange, and some people will not like it because they were not spoon-fed the details. It starts at the 14th month, and the president is only on screen for less than 5 minutes.
That's why he's a third termer, because the election was somewhere in that 14-month span, and it was,
I got the impression that it was an emergency election, so he just continued his term, and that's why I think it's a stand-in for Biden. And a lot of people are saying,
a suspended election like Zelensky did in Ukraine.
Right. Or what could very well happen to us in November. We have to cancel the election. We got a new strain of blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Aliens have landed.
Yeah. So it's a very unusual movie. But again, I loved it. And if you don't like thinking, if you have to have it painted in black and white, you might not like it. But there's other movies just like this where journalism tells the story. The most famous of these is All the President's Men from 1970.
Oh, yeah, that's a great flick.
Yeah, and it's talking about Watergate. And you know very little about Watergate in the movie. You find out what they find out as it happens. Even though this came out just a couple of years after the Watergate fiasco.
Right.
It plays like it's very new. Then you have another movie called Kill the Messenger with Jeremy Renner, who plays a guy named Gary Webb, who uncovered the real reason behind the Nicaraguan freedom fighters. It was the Reagan administration selling illegal drugs to homeless people. Then there was Welcome to Sarajevo from 97. Woody Harrelson is in it, about the Croatian Yugoslav wars of the 80s. The Year of Living Dangerously. You'll love this one, Shannon.
I see that.
Mel Gibson, Sigourney Weaver at her most hot.
Yep.
And a bit of trivia, Linda Hunt won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actress playing a man. The only time somebody has won an Oscar for playing somebody of the opposite sex.
Huh. Interesting.
Salvador with James Woods. That was directed by Oliver Stone, that's set in El Salvador, in another movie called Under Fire, with journalists in Nicaragua, Nick Nolte, Joanna Cassidy, and Gene Hackman.
God, I love. I just saw a picture of him, and it crushed me.
It didn't look like him.
In Santa Fe. One of my all-time most favorite actors. I absolutely love his work. He's retired some years ago, and he's just getting old, real old.
Just getting old, and the New York Post, I thought they had more class than that. I really did.
Yeah.
And another thing about this movie, Under Fire, the score is performed by Pat Metheny.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
You should like it.
It's from a lot of the stuff from his album called As Falls Wichita, So Falls Wichita Falls.
I'm not sure that you're better informed on Pat Metheny than I am.
I can trust me. I am.
I will. Again, there's a couple of other dystopian productions out this week. Arcadian, which is a horror movie.
Arcadian. Okay.
And it's set somewhere in the future, and the Earth has died because of pollution. And the only people we see in the movie is Nicolas Cage and his two sons, and they can't be out after dark. If they do, the boogeyman or something comes at them.
I Am Legend style.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. It reminded me a lot of a M. Night Shyamalan movie where you don't see the monster until the third act. And this very cloistered, claustrophobic setting is very good for this kind of movie. And I got to give Nicolas Cage credit. This guy is always working. He does 4 or 5 movies a year.
Yeah.
Granted, yeah, he does it for the paycheck, but he's busy. And half of his movies are great.
Right. And this, kind of like Samuel L. Jackson, you know?
Exactly.
He does everything, and some of them kick ass.
I gave it 3 out of 5. The critics are at 93. I'm sorry, the critics are at 86. Audiences 67, and that's in theaters. Okay. This is the first of 3 miniseries we have. It's called Fallout, and it's based on a video game that I never heard of. And to be very honest,
Eric knows about it.
Yeah, I only saw the first 2 episodes. But it was a really interesting mix of it reminded me of Westworld, the series Westworld, and Lost, and Deadwood, but with a heart and some comedy. And it was funny, and it was sharp, and it was kind of depressing. And I don't know what else to make of it. Again, I'm only 2 episodes in, but it evidently is doing very well. The critics liked it at 93%. Hmm. And audiences at 85, and that's on Amazon Prime. 2 series on Apple TV. The first is called Sugar, and this stars Colin Farrell as a studio private eye who's trying to find the kidnapped daughter of a studio executive.
Colin Farrell.
And this is a guy who started out big in the 90s, and then he kind of bottomed out. And he's on a very big resurgence. He's currently playing the Penguin in the Batman movies. He's got a solo Penguin movie coming out later this year.
Wow.
And he's great in this thing, and it's set in the modern day. And I liked it, but I didn't love it. I would have preferred it to be set in the 50s, kind of like L.A. Confidential.
Is that what it's like?
In spirit, that's what it's like. But, in a modern day context, it's not as good. And period pieces are hard to make. They cost more. I mean, Coppola got a lot of grief when making The Godfather because Paramount wanted to make it modern day, set in the 70s in Kansas City. He says, no, it's going to be in the 40s and it's going to be in New York. Right. And whenever you do a period movie, it bumps the cost up.
Right.
So I can see why Apple might have
said.
Plus,
Godfather 2 was in 2 periods.
Oh yeah, and it was shot on 3 continents.
Yeah.
You know, they had a harder time even with Godfather 2. But I liked it. I didn't love it. 3 out of 5. 80% with critics. Audiences at 65, and that's on Apple TV. Also on Apple is Franklin, as in Benjamin. And this is an 8-part miniseries starring Michael Douglas as Franklin, as Benjamin Franklin.
Michael Douglas?
Michael Douglas. And I was thinking, no. Get Paul Giamatti.
Right.
But Paul Giamatti played John Adams.
Is it so biographical maybe, type of?
It kind of. It focuses only on the single 8-year period, and I didn't know it was that long, where Franklin went to France to try to get France to underwrite the cost of the American Revolution.
Yeah.
I'm like, I looked this up.
I didn't know it was 8 years. I know he went to France, but, you know, it probably took him a half year to get each way, you know, back in those days, you know.
Another thing I didn't know is Franklin's son was a British loyalist who refused to join the American cause. But his grandson was all in with grandpa, so he went to France with him.
Huh.
So, and Michael Douglas, they got the makeup right. And he speaks in this kind of odd accent like Tom Hanks did in the Elvis movie. Like, you can't pin down what this accent is. It's not American. It's not English. And it's a little spotty.
Michael Douglas is a fairly svelte man, and Benjamin Franklin was a tad portly. How do they resolve that?
They don't. They make him kind of, you know, normal.
All right.
And he's rarely seen without a hat on. But when Michael Douglas was cast as Liberace in Beyond the Candelabra,
right, and he nailed that.
He nailed it, and he won an Emmy for it.
It was fantastic. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was a great movie. So 3 out of 5 for me on Franklin, 68 with critics, and nothing yet from audiences started today. And finally, I'm only bringing
this
movie
I saw a picture
up.
Of it. Hold on. Okay. That's kind of, yeah. I guess. I'll buy it.
Is that Michael Douglas?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. Michael Douglas is a pretty old dude, isn't he?
I think he's 80. He was born in 1944, so yeah, he's 80 years old.
Yeah, good for him.
This last movie, I'm only bringing it up because of what takes place on the margins. It's called The People's Joker, and it was produced almost 3 years ago. It played at a couple festivals, and Warner Brothers and DC Comics slapped an injunction on the filmmakers saying copyright infringement, to which the filmmaker said, no, we're using the Fair Play copyright loophole. Have you heard of this?
No.
Fair Play?
What is that?
You can make a movie that is a copyrighted character like the Joker or Batman if you're doing it in a satirical, lampooning, or educational manner. You can get away with it.
And it did?
Not really. This thing has been in the can for 2 years, and they finally got distribution. And the big thing with this movie, it is directed and stars a trans woman.
Oh boy!
And the story.
That's why they're going to get away with it. They're going to say if you're against this movie, Warner Brothers, then you're anti-trans.
You know, I didn't even think about that angle. You might be right.
Yep, absolutely.
Warner Brothers might be accused of being transphobic. So anyway, it's coming out all over the place. But according to the website, it's only playing for a week. I looked at the cast and some of the featured characters. It covers pretty much the entire DC Comics.
Have you seen a trailer or anything?
Yeah, it's up there.
All right, I'll look for it.
By the way,
Ripley, we finished the first season. It made Kim very anxious to watch each episode. Like, she was like, oh my God, I'm so anxious. So I think she liked it. I liked it. Do you think they left it set up for a second series?
Well, they would have to go to the second book. I mean, there are 4 more books.
Right. There's got to be another one.
Well, I don't know.
I thought it was great. Anyway.
You liked it.
I did like it.
You didn't think it was too padded with all the steps and going up and down?
I thought, yeah, too far on the archy-fartsy side. I mentioned it to Kim before we started watching. I said, look out and see if you notice people walking up and down stairs a lot. And it was like halfway, you know, through the season. She's like, Jesus, all the stairs. But, you know, the area they were in and whatever. Anyway.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. Read Mike's reviews in Newsmax magazine at the Epoch Times and at thefederalist.com, of course, here on the Shannon Burke Show. If you are in hot sauce, brand 25 peppers at AOL.com. It is Shannon Burke approved. I'm almost out, so I hope there's either some more left or some more on the way. But, you know.
We got you taken care of there, buddy.
You're the man. Thanks, bro.
All right, bro.
Appreciate it.
See you next week.
Say hello to Ocala for us.
We will. All right, buddy. Thanks,
later.
Dude.
Later.
Later. Bye.
All right. Ooh. Yes? What?
No, nothing.
Nothing. All right, when we return, remarks. And a weird text exchange between a boss and an employee about their salary. It's very, you know, I don't know why people in an office or working environment start to discuss how much they make. Some places like outlaw, like ban it. You can't talk about what you make. Well, this lady found out. We'll talk about it next. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. Do as an employee, I'm not talking about hourly gigs, but as an employee, maybe so, but an employee of a business, and you have coworkers that, you know, you pretty much do the same thing, and then you start having discussions about how much money you make, right? It can never go well.
Never, because you're always going to be one of the two people that's going to be upset that they're not making the same amount of money.
Yeah. Well, a text exchange between this boss, Elliot, an employee, Christina, has gone viral. So she's texting Elliot, the boss. Hi, Elliot. Just found out that I'm the lowest paid in the whole team. That's despite the fact that I've been here the longest and also one of the most senior. He responds, hi, Christina. Who told you that? She says, it doesn't matter who told me. Is it true? He said, it absolutely does matter. This is not an appropriate topic of discussion for the workplace. So she kept hitting him up. She said, look, I've been here longer. I have more seniority. They make more than me. And he responds by saying, well, as you recall, we were at a point where we needed to hire people. And we needed to get the best people, and they were in demand, and we had to offer more to get them. And And she says, well, I don't know what you want me to say. They just got lucky. We hired them when we were struggling to find people, and so we're forced to pay a bit more. And you didn't think the fair thing would be to include me in that? He said, we'll talk about your salary at another time. I'll see what I could do. It could be tricky right now with the budget. He said, I'll see what I could do. But as you know, the budget reasons, you know, might make this pretty tricky to do right now. She said, I hope you understand that I will be looking for a new role if you don't go ahead with this. He said, surely you wouldn't leave over something like that.
Surely she will.
Absolutely.
This guy, I can get where he's coming from, where conversation about salary among employees is always never going to work out well for anybody, because there's always going to be someone that's mad that they're not making the same as everybody else.
Right.
But also, he needs to know now that she knows you're going to have to get her up to the same salary, or she's going to walk away.
Right. And to say, like, oh, surely you wouldn't leave over something like this. Yeah. You know,
I will, and don't call me Shirley.
You know, from the boss's standpoint, I don't know how much more he had to pay these other people. But if you were really open and fair with your employees, you would have upped them too.
Yeah. The game got called out. I mean, he's been running right now. They've been working for a while now, and basically getting her at a discount. She's the team lead.
Right. She's been there the longest.
So they've been getting a discount at her. The best thing he can do right now is just immediately go, yep, you're right. We're going to go ahead and get your salary up there.
Yeah, transparency about that type of stuff is important. And to brush her off, oh, surely you would leave over something like this. Oh, come on, you know, we're paying you like 30% less. We got a bargain. Radio business is, you know, there's always just rumors. No one knows. No one talks, you know. You hear phrases, and like, for one example, Kimmer, that band's worth whatever he can. I mean, he's an awesome broadcaster. He's great. But I went to work for that station in Atlanta after they brought him back from brought him out of retirement. And one day I heard the EVP, the big, the GM say, it was kind of jokingly, dragging on him that he goes, yeah. Well, it wasn't for his bloated salary. I'm like, whoa, he's bloated? I'm not even halfway bloated. I don't care about stuff like that, though. All right, let's get to some remarks, shall we? From the Florida Man Radio app, powered by Morganic Meats. By the way, I saw Jonathan in the hallway, and he is on his way to Fort Walton Beach. So, and he hadn't left yet. Still time to call him, 407-402-5686. Get your order in. Down at the bottom of that app is a little microphone and a button. Hit that baby and you've got 30 seconds.
It'll be a bonus if she has kids. She'll probably give you a juice box and some fruit roll-ups when y'all get done.
Gotta get those Capri Suns.
25-year-old guy going on a date with maybe a 50-year-old one. I think it's great. It's exciting.
Hey, if they get that kid two G.I. Joes, make sure one of them has a kung fu grip.
Hey-o! I think mine did have the kung fu grip. All it was like a flexible hand that would hold. Yeah, you pull it out, it would spring back, and you could just hold stuff in it.
Hey, guys, what's up? I am a maintenance technician for 7-Eleven, and Slurpee Day is indeed tomorrow. We have been working our tails off trying to get these raggedy-ass machines back working. So enjoy it, because they'll probably be broke down in a few days.
7-Eleven, I've grown up with 7-Eleven. Remarkably, I don't think there are any, or very few, in Georgia. But there's one street in Dallas, Texas, Columbia Avenue, which goes from Abrams, I think, turns into Columbia. You can sit at one part of that street, it's a very straight street, and look straight down and count 5 7-Elevens. Probably in a 12-block distance.
That used to be
on this side, that side,
Colonial.
Oh, yeah?
A good chunk of Colonial used to be that way, too.
Who doesn't love a 7-Eleven? Cigarettes and beer.
What's up, guys? Right here. The caller that called in and said that was just a front. You know what? You're probably right. But I don't think he's smart enough, to be honest with you, to do that. And they've been together and living together for at least a couple of years now. So, you know, it's possible. But who knows?
Is Ray Ray next to a river?
Doing some fountain work or something.
Is he a fountain guy?
Electricity.
Disney.
Wait. She just moved him.
Shannon, Maverick here. I used to try and get myself coffee enemas, but the Keurig cups kept falling out of my ass.
You also have to let them cool, too.
Oh, yeah. That's, oof. Man, I've had a battle with my coffee machine lately. It's been a real pain in the ass.
Hey, here's a guy. Easy. I don't say it enough. You come up with the best effing stories ever on radio, period. Been around a long time. You're the best.
He's been around a long time, Easy.
I'm glad he loves about my mummified mole to your teeth, so...
Disney's going to put their foot down if you try to identify as a handicap, but you could have a long beard, wear a mini skirt, and go into the ladies' room. Way to go, Disney.
Can they do that? They have the transgender bathroom policy there?
Probably. I know they've added, so like, there's been stories of they do the fairy godmother at the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique thing for the kids, and they've had guys in a full beard doing the makeup for the girls.
I avoid that place like a plague.
I know how you fix the problem with everybody taking advantage of the disability thing at Disney. You basically make it to where, to have this disability pass, you have to go through a physical. And this physical will include some doctor diddling different parts of you and orifices. And you basically get a good fingering. And if you're fine with doing that, then come on.
Do you have to go through the doctor diddling?
I don't think they need to be fingered. I hope not.
I think it's funny how people freak out nowadays about any guns that look like they might be real. I get it. You got to look out. But, you know, back when I was a kid, our little toy guns looked legit, man. And, I mean, nobody even gave us a second look. We'd sit there, point them right at cars, and they'd pretend to die. You know, nobody was worried about it back then.
That's true.
No, I grew up in the era of they had to have the orange cap to be sold.
Yeah.
And then you immediately broke that orange
cap.
Snapped
it right off. You know, your dad's pliers just boop.
Instead of doing these viral games like Senior Assassin, why don't these kids try some other viral games like, oh, I don't know, hey, let's pass math, or hey, I want to be proficient in reading, or let's kill it in science.
That's awesome.
Come on. If you ever want to play a really good prank on your neighbor, post an ad on Facebook Marketplace saying free DVD player, and boy, their phone will not shut up.
Free DVD player, huh? That's going to get them out? I love the Facebook Marketplace. We used to do a bit about it called Need Gone, because that's, for some reason, people on Facebook, I mean, on Craigslist that want to sell something, they'll describe it, and they'll say, need gone.
Mm-hmm.
That's not grammatically correct. It's like a Mongol language. Need gone, you know. But it's funny.
Out at curb, you get.
Yeah. On curb, pick up.
Hey Shannon, the pizza delivery scam is something that the employees do, as the returned pizzas are eaten by the employees.
So they do it because they're hungry?
I mean, they can. I think this guy's getting maliciously attacked by somebody.
Definitely.
When it's a couple hundred dollars to $1,000 worth of pizza.
Yeah. This is definitely, Jesus.
Shannon, the bear attacks in Asia are actually all from one bear. It is the Kung Fu Panda.
Wouldn't the Japanese bear be real small, like those drinks you get at the Japanese steakhouse with the little hand in the air? You could rub his tummy. That's my version of the Japanese bear. Not a scary bear. And, you know, I almost forgot to tell you guys something funny. Someone heard my voice on this platform and asked me to be a character on an educational children's book. I wanted to be the squirrel, but now I'm the mouse.
Wow, that's
also
pretty cool.
I think she's talking about Luck Cat.
About what?
Luck Cat. She's talking about the bear.
Oh,
but
yeah,
it's a cat.
The hand. Yeah, that's a cat, clearly.
Oh, movie man Mike made it sound like that lady
only listens on Fridays at 5 o'clock. He said, I listen to you all or every week, you know, but not damn the rest of them days.
Damn the rest of the show. We're only tuning in for Mike.
Dang, listen to Movie Man Mike. He's always got the hot ladies around him, always commenting on him. He definitely got that dog in him.
He got that dog in him.
Here's your Colin Farrell fun fact for today. He was in a movie called Tigerland in the late 90s, early 2000. It's about an army soldier in his last stages of combat training before he goes to Vietnam. Cole Hauser from Yellowstone's in it. Anyways, he meets a smoking hot chick at the bar, bangs her out. She happens to live in Central Florida, by the way, or did. And there's your Colin Farrell connection to Central Florida.
The actress is from Central Florida or the character?
I don't know, but I would like a Colin Farrell fact of the day from here on out. Now.
Yeah, yeah, sure would. So interested in him.
Star Trek guy here.
I don't think so.
I don't know what you're going to talk about because you teased it, but I'm sure I'm not going to like it. So whatever it is, I'm opposed to it. Yeah, so bye.
When I was a kid, my brother had the same G.I. Joe that Shannon had, and he would kidnap my Barbies, cut all her hair off, and tie them to trees. So I had to get my mom to get me a G.I. Joe for myself to fight against his G.I. Joe. And it was a nonstop war at our house between all this stuff going on. But anyways,
I never really understood what I would do with it to play with it. You know, like, oh, here's G.I. Joe. I'm by myself. I got my G.I. Joe. He's walking over here. He's doing, what is he, you know. It would have, I didn't get a lot of value out of the toy.
I mean, G.I. Joe was there to kill all the dirty Viet Cong.
It didn't come with us in the set of just him and a couple
of
guns.
It was a couple of years. It made it till the 80s before they started.
That would have been a huge success.
Yeah, G.I. Joe got around the 80s when they started adding other villains and the Cobra Commander, and you actually had some people fight against.
A flamethrower.
So it's the employees' freedom to talk about their compensation. They're free to do that. That's their choice. That's their free will to do so. If the employer doesn't like it, it is what it is. I've had this situation. The employer said, I would discourage against talking about your compensation with other associates, but they're free to do that. She did nothing wrong, and the one whoever discussed what they were getting paid did nothing wrong.
There are companies that have, I don't know if it's enforceable, but have a policy.
Yeah, it's not enforceable, though. I think... They've kind of ruled a couple times.
But you know that there's no situation ever in which that conversation turns out to be a beneficial for anybody. Or you know what I mean? That it doesn't cause consternation at all.
Hey, Clavin here. Hey, thanks, Shannon, EZ, and Heather for a great week of shows. And just want to tell everyone this weekend, hey, reach out to people that you... you know, your family, your friends, and tell them how much they mean to you. Because you never know when someone might leave unexpectedly.
Yep.
Ere. God bless.
Indeed, brother.
Well, here's the thing, girl. You know, there's a way to handle it. You go to your boss and you say, look, I found this out. I'm more senior. I should be making more than them, not the same. But the whole text message and whining about fairness... Nothing's fair. That's a little weak. Well, my bad. I thought that was one of those Ask Heather things where we're giving advice.
After visiting Disney as a child and multiple times as an adult, I was helping somebody move down to Orlando, and one of their relatives was a cast member, and they told us when you get off the ride, go up and tell them that your picture didn't come out, and you get whisked right to the front of the line. And they were right. If anything, Disney is guilty of overselling admission to their park.
Yeah.
There should be a class action suit against them for it. They created this problem.
What's it cost to get in there now? Like $200?
For like a single park, over $100.
Oof.
That's not adding park hopper or any of that, trying to go to the other parks.
That woman who did not get the increase in salary when others were hired with an uptick. I feel bad for her. She should absolutely be offended by that. And that guy's a weasel. One of my good friends works for a creative firm, and all of their salaries are published. I don't remember how that is, but at any time you can see it, and I think that's weird, too.
That is weird.
Yeah, y'all were just talking about the woman with her hourly wage that she wasn't happy with because of the other people at her work. I feel a comment coming in from Star Trek guy in 3, 2, 1.
Hey, Shannon. I'm trying the new coffee enema things, but the 7-Eleven guy kicked me out last night.
You need some caffeine, my friend.
Could that be true what that caller said about getting a free fingering if you claim to be disabled? You know, putting the finger in there, you know, it kind of hurts a little bit going in, but when they pull it out, it's pretty great. If you can just find a way to just continually pull a finger out, I'd be awesome. I'd sign up.
Thank you very much.
I didn't catch that whole story about the woman that confronted her boss about salary, and he's saying that this is not the proper place to speak about it. Were they on the job site or were they at a movie theater?
They were texting. I don't know.
Please clear that up for me.
You know, I got to thinking about the putting the orange tip on the fake guns back when Easy and I were kids. And it made me think, why don't they put orange tips on dildos and vibrators?
It's good. You would know they're not real.
Yeah.
Have you heard anything about an internet outage or some kind of cyber attack? Because my phone's been out since about 11:30, and I missed the whole show and been on a work site, so I have no idea what's going on.
Oh, my God. Wait until you find out. Oh, the world will never be the same.
It's also the 12th of the month. Did you pay your bill?
Hey, so if those bears are hung like that study that they did concerning Japanese men, no wonder they're pissed. Be-do-be-do.
I would love for a particular coworker of mine wonder why I make way more money. It's because I actually work and I do a good job at it.
G.I. Joe sucks. Stretch Armstrong rules.
Stretch Armstrong.
Try and find out what's inside Stretch Armstrong.
Molasses, I think.
Like a corn syrup mixture.
Yeah. Speaking of the bear, if you knew my technique for disarming a bear, a female bear, must be a female, then these Japanese people wouldn't have to worry.
Does it work on Japanese female bears too?
I mean, conceivably, yeah, I think so.
Never been tested out, so you're
not really.
Just really kind of going off.
And
of
I don't really have a system for male bears yet. I mean, you're on your own there, but you can probably figure it out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Those are the remarks for this hour. This week, actually, powered by Morris Family Farms and Morganic Meats. We'll take our final break and come back and wrap it up for you. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. There's a list ranking the best fast food restaurants in America. What would you guess would be the best?
Chick-fil-A.
Heather?
Chick-fil-A, definitely.
Chick-fil-A. Well, a trusted travel guide brand have compiled this list. Chick-fil-A is, hold on, wait for it. I think it comes in at 7.
What?
I'm okay. I really don't go to Chick-fil-A ever.
I mean, I do on occasion. Number one is Culver's, which we just got one or two out here.
Yeah, they need to put one closer to me out there.
It's not drive-thru. You got to go in.
I think there's drive-thru at some
moment. Oh, is there? Shake Shack. Number two.
Yeah.
In-N-Out, number three. I love In-N-Out.
Yeah,
Whataburger. Whataburger, they're coming here?
No, they don't. Well, I think they are coming here. They're finally going to put one out here somewhere.
Whataburger, which they call the In-N-Out of Texas, although In-N-Out is in Texas now, is next. And then Raising Cane's, a chicken joint. Is that a chicken joint?
It is, yeah.
Number six, Five Guys. And number seven, Chick-fil-A. And then, I don't know these others, 9 or 8, Dave's Hot Chicken.
We have a Dave's Hot Chicken here.
Do we really?
Yeah.
I think is it like Nashville Hot Chicken?
Yeah, I think so. It's out on, I think it's in Lake Mary.
Really? Number 9, Kelly's Roast Beef. Ever heard of it?
Nope.
Me neither. And 11, I know you haven't heard about, it's called Dick's. They call Dick's the In-N-Out of Puget Sound. They did get down to, that's 11. A 12 you don't know either. Jollibee.
I've heard Jollibee. We have one here at UCF has one out there.
What is it?
It's a
Filipino?
Filipino, like fried chicken and different stuff.
Huh. Who knew?
It's supposed to be pretty good, but it's way out there by UCF.
It's dangerous out there.
Yeah, I try to stay away if they're after dark.
That's it for us this week. Thank you for a great week of radio. Thank you, EZ.
Thank you.
Thank you, Heather.
Thank you.
Thank you to this audience. Have a great weekend. We're back on Monday, 2 Eastern, 1 Central. We follow Don Miller, unbelievably hysterically funny, who has your phone number in his Rolodex. He follows Bubba the Love Sponge, national treasure. We'll see you on Monday on the Florida Man Radio Network. I'm Shannon Burke. Have a good night.